Blog Talk Radio.
This is Emma E2K. You are now tuned in to Street Queens, The Movement.
You're now tuned in to Street Queens, The Movement, and tonight we are talking about the 48 laws of power. If you're anybody or anybody's body, then you need to be reading the 48 laws of power, and we're going to be going in tonight on Lush Radio Online, you know what I'm saying, tonight. So make sure you tune in, calling at 347-826-7722. But I'm going to go into a song. I'm going to take y'all back with a throwback. Watch for the hook, the Dungeon Family, Outkast, Goody Mob, and Cool Breeze. And we'll be back on Street Queens, The Movement, 48 Laws of Power. How powerful are you?
Remember in one crew been so diverse. Trying to outdo the last verse that I burst, that is my curse. Your knight in rhyming armor, sentimentalist slay all grand dragons. Grab the sharpest number two, then I'm stabbing. Somebody let me hold a number two pencil, cause they check. Somebody let me hold a number two pencil, cause they check. I fly through the night, yeah. Mix it hard with some Sprite. Lyrics we put inside ya. Listen to these ATL riders. Keep your head straight. The streets full of snakes, slithering. Making deals, delivering. That we got you shivering. Paranoia. 1500, go to the lawyer. After paying his rent, dollars and cents. Selling big bulls, put up a fence. We're moving on till the crew is on. They gon' bang plus train, you like the phone, sit on the wall, you not get it touch the phone.
Tell me home, anybody just check my zone, we gon' get it on till we get it gone. In your mind, get it right, you get it wrong, or you gon' get shot out of the phone.
I didn't buy your words, right, same cop, take a skull, spin, get rid of figure, look at these things out of shoulders, I'm out that type of roll, I'll know you be on, back in the way, we'll start, think of a spot, we keep them all dead, cop, for the last five, I take your hair, restore, like it's with the lead, I'm the girl.
Yeah, been here, this year, get one of the five to lay it down around here, gold and the platinum all over the wall. If you ever take the book, yo, it had big balls. Laid it down hard more than one time. Yo, I hit it, get it gone, now I'm out of mine. Went from Hull, Captain Curtis to the Hunter's folk. People still talking about the last rhyme I wrote. 87 was the year that I first set 10. I'm hollering at B.E. doing time in the pen. I say,
what is it, no boys, I crept in. Stepping all over your best friend. No way in, the lyrical last ends. And smoke, I said, this, the young and the rest. Some of the best in the dirty south and Midwest. Hemisphere, they wanna be the peer. The plan to be on ice, go run these verses and make you see the tear. Try to dock and I put my plug off in their glove socket. No, the deep to the F is gone forever. Lock it down. This GTS for Timo, who's known as a teaser. Southwest young brother bringing a pain through your speaker. It's like a disease to feed for the trees you need. I'm up in ease and feeling exhibited chilling while dealing with the devil himself. Increase my wealthy more than 10 times the average minimum wage. Kind of drug me. These days are changing rapidly. Steady tactics created be maximized with proper investment. Can't be hesitant with them dead presidents. Or you lose, or you can lose your cash. Fuck no,
too.
I know a whole lot of brothers in the rap game, but most of them are in it for the shiny things. They want to smash all 10, maybe stack about 4. They want to live in the house, but don't want no grass to grow. See, what you need to do is learn the tricks of the trade. Go to work, put it down, and then get paid. If only two of us don't get caught for making a sale. I'm one, and if you the other, bro, I can't tell. Ain't nobody that can come in and get in the zone. Trying to kill 4 birds with about 15 stones. The C stands for Cool Breeze, who's known as the champ. Freddie Calhoun, the coolest cutter at camp.
Hey, my ones and my twos got your whole town shook. You better listen to your corner and watch for the hook.
The C stands for Cool Breeze, who's known as the champ. Freddie Calhoun, the coolest cutter at camp.
Hey, my ones and my twos got your whole town shook. You better listen to your corner and watch for the hook. You better listen to your corner and watch for the hook. You better listen to your corner and watch for the hook.
The C stands for Cool Breeze, who's known as the champ. Freddie Calhoun, the coolest cutter at camp.
Hey, my ones and my twos got your whole town shook.
Known as the champ. Freddie Calhoun, the coolest cutter at camp.
Hey, my ones and my twos got your whole town shook. You better listen to your corner and watch for the hook. You better listen to your corner and watch for the hook. You better listen to your corner and watch for the hook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're live on Street Queens, The Movement. And this is a panel of beautiful women from all walks of life live on the show. Also, we have our Street Kings live in the building. They got The View, and we got the panel. We're discussing different issues that affect us in our everyday lives and affect women in our community. So tonight's show, we're talking about the 48 laws of power. How powerful are you? We implore you to call in at 347-826-7722, and we're going to go one by one down the laws of power, and we're going to discuss it and see how it relates to your life and how you feel about it. So any successful person that is successful and that it person out there has read the 48 Laws of Power, and we'll be throwing some books out there for you that will definitely help you according to your life or trying to gain that goal of success in whatever you're trying to do. So definitely want to shout out our sponsors out there, Diverse Media Group, LLC, E2K Magazine Online, Coast to Coast DJs, and also AU DJs, and OhanaShop.com and Capital Customs. Tonight's show is going to be awesome, very informative, so make sure you get your pen and your pad, and if you do have your book in front of you, grab it, and if you don't got it, I can email it to you for $2, only $2. Email me at CEOLushRadioOnline@gmail.com, and I can slide you over a copy of the 48 Laws of Power. So call in. We going in. We are definitely going in. We got the lines is already ready, and they blowing up, man. So get hype, get ready, because it's on and popping. 48 Laws of Power. But we're going to go ahead and bring all our wonderful kings and queens live on the line. Greetings, the sexy and beautiful Emma E2K Magazine. What up, Emma?
Yeah, yeah. I do my own sound effects. Peace, queen. You already know, you know, another day of learning. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. I'm definitely excited. We got the whole fam on the line. Greetings, peace, king, genius. What's up with you, partner?
What's going on, my queens? What it do today? I'm ready to learn some knowledge.
Peace, ready.
And I think we got swag on the line. We got swag on the line. He called in early today. Is this swag on the line with us? Oh, this ain't swag. This is 646. 646, you're live on the line with us. Peace.
Hello, my lovely. Shout out to all my kings and queens out there. This is your girl, Precious, a.k.a. Chocolate Mrs. What's up?
Hey, Tiger, this is how you doing,
what's
man?
What's up, queen?
Can you call your own girl, man?
I called in early today. I'm like, oh, this show going to be good. So let me call in early and get it on and popping. So here I am.
We got our beautiful spokesmodel live in the building with us, Chocolate Mister. She is a triple threat. You better watch for the hook. And I played y'all earlier. That was the Dungeon Family. I ain't heard that in a minute, man. That was Outkast, Goody Mob, and Cool Keys, man. So, yeah, so definitely that was a hot one throwback. And we got a caller from the 202. Peace 202. You're live in the building on Street Queens, the Movement. We're going to be talking about the 48 Laws of Power. How powerful are you?
Peace to all my queens and kings. And to my lovely daughter, Edu. What's up, girl?
Wow.
Oh, this
is my upper.
I gotta get her some class. This is my upper mother right here, man. I gotta get her some class, man. I love her.
Yeah, I have to be on my Twitter and seen your invite to the 48 Law, so I decided to call him to see what it was about.
Yeah. If y'all don't know, man, this woman that got me through some hard times when I was, you know, in the military, you know what I'm saying, a wonderful NCO and a wonderful mother and all of that. So I love her to death. I just love her. She makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Thank you. I'll be in your area in about 2 weeks.
For real?
Yeah.
Don't playing with me, man. You're making me emotional. Stop. Okay.
I'm serious. I'm in South Carolina right now.
Okay. Well, I can't wait till you come. I can't wait. I'm excited. Okay. So back to the show. Oh, man, she got me so excited. Okay, so the whole thing is, you know, yesterday, not too long ago, last week, we want to talk about the 48 laws of power. And anybody that's been successful in this day and age has read the 48 laws of power. And I want my boy Genius to go ahead and go into more detail in regards to some of the points that the 48 laws of power touches. Go ahead, Genius.
Well, I mean, basically, you know, the 48 Laws of Power, which was written by Robert Greene and Juice Ifas. If you haven't read it, I suggest everybody actually get a copy of it. If you're trying to be successful at anything, regardless of what type of business it is, it's definitely a key element to, you know, being able to see the steps to take to actually achieve that. It's broken down into basically 48 laws, and each of them, you know, intricately, as I guess we go through the show, we'll go through each one of the different laws. You know, it breaks it down into detail, all the necessary steps to actually to follow to achieve that. And they're actually very true and accurate. You know, me, myself, you know, after reading them, I've applied them as well as a list of other books, you know, which I'm sure Les is going to go through a whole list of those. But it's definitely essential. You know, and I'm all about empowerment and learning. So, you know, I've learned from it. So if I can learn from it, everybody else can learn from it and apply it. You know, don't just read it, but apply it.
Definitely. And if you would like to acquire a transcript of the 48 Laws of Power and you don't have it and you want it in your email, all you need to do is send me $2. Only $2. Send it, and let me know that you want to get it, and email me at ceolushradioonline@gmail.com. Only $2, and we can send you your copy of 48 Laws of Power, so you can use it and apply it to your everyday life. So the way that we're going to work this is we're going to go down the line, and we're going to discuss each law, and there's 48 laws, so we're going to go down each law, and then we're going to read it and discuss it. How many of you guys have the book in front of you right now?
I have it.
You have it in front of you?
Okay,
I'm going to start off with the first one. The first law of power is never outshine the master. Always make those above you feel comfortably superior. In your desire to please or impress them, do not go too far in displaying your talents, or you might accomplish the opposite. Inspire fear and insecurity. Make your master appear more brilliant than they are, and you will attain the heights of power. So let's discuss that and see what you think about that. You know, with the 48 laws of power. Genius, you want to go ahead and you know, kind of break it down for the people out there, that first law?
Well, I mean, it first starts with, you know, being humble, humility, you know, in order to actually make someone else, you know, feel good and appear, you know, not necessarily better than what they are, but, you know, to the level that they are, you have to carry yourself with, you know, a certain amount of humility. You know, even if you know more than someone, you know what I'm saying, if they're in a position that's higher than you, carry yourself with humility, you know. And then that's something that a lot of people need to learn, because a lot of people don't carry themselves with humility. You can have confidence, you know, and cockiness, but not so much so that, you know, it makes you look bad in front of that person, you know, because at the end of the day, you want to shake hands with people, so to speak, and to have that type of relationship, and you have to be, you know, humble in order to achieve that.
Definitely. Emma, you want to touch on that thought in regards to, you know, everyday life and, you know, how it applies to your life. You want to talk about that, Emma? Emma, okay. I guess we lost the Precious. You want to touch on it?
Yeah, it's basically like Genius said, simple humility. You know, there will come a time in a lot of people's lives where they will be up against the big dog, you know, the CEO of corporations, you know, the president of certain companies. No one likes someone who knows it all or thinks they know it all or wants to be that leader. The humble you are, the more susceptible you are to blessings. That's something that I personally believe in. So, like Genius said, humility definitely goes a long way.
Definitely. And Emma, you want to touch on it, Emma?
We were talking
about the first law, of being humble.
The only thing I guess I don't even know if it's an add-on because I didn't hear what everybody had to say, but the only thing I would say, like by, from experience, I've learned from you know working with other people, that when you come into a position that you have a superior boss, someone that, you know, is in a higher rank than you, the moment that you make them, you know, make them, show them in a better light, you have a better relationship and everything goes more smoothly than when you try to outshine. Sometimes you don't even try, it just happens, and then you get a lot of flack for it. So it's just based. So sometimes it's, I mean, you can be humble, but even in your humbleness, there's just some people that kind of outshine, even in their most humbleness. So you got to, you know, like kind of then be careful with that, you know. When you're working for somebody else, it's always best to, when you want to get, I mean, for instance, I had a boss that was very arrogant and everything. I think he was worse than even Puffy, to tell you the truth. He was a real out and arrogant and stuff. And very anal, and you know, my job was to make him look good. All his fuck ups, I used to have to be the one to clean it up, and he always looked like the great, you know, like the great one. But in doing that, I gained so much information, so many connections. I networked with so much people because then everybody only wanted to speak to me. Although I made him look good, everybody dealt with me. So you know, I dealt with him, I took all that business with me.
Definitely. And Mom, you want to touch bases on that? I know, you know, it's like that sometimes because, you know, as dealing in the military and stuff, we deal with a lot of crazy. You deal with a lot of crazy people. You be wondering how in the hell did they get that rank? Well, you know, hold up the story. Mom, you want to touch on it?
Well, I just want to piggyback on what the last response was as far as when you, because, you know, I run into that a lot. When you're trying to help, you know, you're trying to help them and they think because you know a little more than them that you're trying to outshine them when in reality I'm just trying to teach you and help you. So sometimes it can be a downfall. Like she said, you just being humble and trying to help the person, but the person is trying to, thinking that you're trying to outshine them, but like you said, in the military, it's like you got to know the people you're working with, because some people you just can't work with like that.
Yeah, definitely, and that's the truth. And Bunzi, you live on the line. You want to touch on what we just discussed a little bit on the first law?
Well, first of all, let me salute everybody, but I'm a little late, so I'm actually trying to listen and catch up before I start opening my mouth on anything.
Well, we was talking about the first law, Bugsy, never outside the master.
Say that again? What about
who? We was talking about the first law to be like a short synopsis about never outshining the master, and we spoke on being humble, but doing it in a way where it doesn't intimidate your superior. And it helps them to shine.
Okay. I think I'm catching up to pace now. Sucks. Give me a second, Lushy. Let me get together right quick.
All right, Bugsy. So we're going to let you get a minute of stuff. Right now, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the 48 laws of power. We got a lot of beautiful queens and kings live on the line with us, and we're talking about how this applies to your everyday life. And what basically we're going to do is going to talk about each law and basically have a forum and discuss about it, how it applies to your life and things like that. We're going to have a live discussion. So you can call in at 347-826-7722. Genius, you want to go into the second law?
Yeah, no problem. The second law is never put too much trust in friends, and learn how to use enemies. Be aware of your friends. They will, and this is a real good one, be aware of your friends. Be wary of your friends more quickly, for they are easily aroused to envy. They also become spoiled and tyrannical. But hire a former enemy, and he will be more loyal than a friend because he has more to prove. In fact, you have more to fear from friends than from enemies. If you have no enemies, find a way to make them.
Wow. So go ahead and break that down, and then I want to hear people's feedback on the second law of power. Talk to them now, genius.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, you know, a short synopsis of it, sometimes, you know, your friends, you know, may not tell you all of the things that you necessarily need to hear and may not approach situations in a manner that an outsider would be, like replacing the enemy with outsider as opposed to saying enemy, you know, with someone that's fresh outside of the situation, you know, they would actually be more honest in the situation as opposed to trying to do something to gain more of a friendship from you. You know, wherein your friend is going to try to do things from the standpoint where they're trying to keep you close to them, you know what I'm saying, and make your bond seem stronger than anything else. So someone outside will actually be more honest, you know, in the situation because either they don't know you, you know what I'm saying, so they'd be more willing to be more honest in the situation and apply things from a different perspective. You know, but I would say you would actually have to, you know, be wary of both. I would deal with the enemy at arm's length, you know what I'm saying, still adhering to what my friend, you know, what their approach and standpoint on it is.
They said keep your enemies close now because I ain't gonna drop names, but I had a situation, you know, with you know, a little backstabber. But at the end of the day, I know they're going to work extra hard. Now, I wouldn't employ them to come back and work with me, but I know they will work extra hard because of the fact they feel like they got to prove something and show the fact that, you know, I messed up, so I don't want her to feel no type of way. The thing about it is that the same thing, like they said, even when we come to business, sometimes it's not good to work with family or friends. Because they get real relaxed when it comes to business. When you get somebody that you don't know, they're going to work extra hard because they're trying to prove a point to you, you know. And that's the problem sometimes we have in business. We employ our friends and our family. That's my homeboy. That's my And then where your homeboy at? You got a whole pile of work that needs to get done, and they know where to be found. Come on now. Let's get it together. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I want to know what you feel about it. Precious, what you think about it? Touch on it.
I think everything you just said was 100% true. I'm going to give an example that I saw. All right, we all know our president, you know, when he was running for president, you know, Hillary Clinton as well as her husband Bill said a lot of disrespectful things about President Obama while they were running, you know. I mean, Hillary was really coming at his neck. She was just being very sloppy and very immature in her word choices, and she made a lot of poor judgments. Now, I thought what was classy yet very bewildering was when Obama asked her to become his Secretary of State. I'm looking like, why wouldn't he put someone in there that he already knows and that he's able to, you know, work with? But then it dawned on me, you know what? He obviously was an enemy when he was running, and that's the best person that you could put in to work with you solely because now she's going to try to work extra hard, and now she's going to try to do what she can to be in the good graces. So, you know, it works out for both. So the point I'm trying to make is I definitely agree with that law, and I know I know I have a whole ton of enemies, you know, that someday once I become successful will come running to me. And you know what's funny? I will definitely be working with some of them because you know what? If anything, I know they'll be the ones to tell me the truth. I know they'll be the ones to work, as you said, harder than some of my family and friends. So I definitely agree with that law.
That's definitely what it is. Emma, you want to touch on that? Emma, you there? Ma, you want to touch on that?
No, I don't have no comment.
Okay. Bugsy, you want to touch on that? On the second law?
Yeah, I can touch on that one, man. I mean, basically, I say, like, as far as, like, enemies, competition, or whatever you want to place them under, I mean, you know, you mostly know that their intentions, you know what I mean? You know, they're either going to go hard at you because you know your competition, but as far as, like, your friends and people like that, you never know their intentions, you know what I mean? You don't know if they're going to be good or if they're going to be bad, so you got to, like, really keep an eye on them. But now, as far as the people on the other side of the field, you already know what they're doing. So, you know, you can move a little bit easier with that, you know what I mean? Like Les said, man, keep your enemies closer than your friends, you know what I mean? And that's just real talk right there.
Definitely. Emma, you back with us on the line? Emma, you there?
Oh, I don't know what's going on.
Emma, you there? I can hear you. Are you there?
You can hear me? Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
You want to touch on that?
Nah, everything has been said already. I mean, I'm just going to repeat. I don't even want to waste time repeating. Let's go to the next one.
Okay, that's what it is. We got another caller from the 917-657. What's good?
Why
does
she do that?
917, what's up?
Why does she do that? I'm not able to do it.
I don't know. Who is it? Okay, all right. I guess they was listening. I didn't know what was going on with that one. But we're going
to
go to the
third law.
Let's go to the third law. The third law says, conceal your intentions. Oh, man. This law right here is serious for some of us that like to talk a lot, man. You guys, every little thing y'all about to do, y'all like to tell everybody what's going on. So conceal your intentions. Keep people off balance in the dark by never revealing the purpose behind your actions. If they have no clue what you're up to, they cannot prepare their defense. Guide them far enough down the wrong path. Envelope them in enough smoke, and by the time they realize your intentions, it will be too late. And that's conceal your intentions. That's law number three. So we're going to touch on that. My synopsis on that one is basically some of us, right, we really hype about situations, but, you know, we can't trust everybody out there in the world. You know, not everybody's out there for your best interest. So you only give them enough, you know what I'm saying, to hang themselves. And, you know, whatever you're doing, you move stealthy, you know. You don't need to let everybody know what you're doing, but when you do, they're going to know what you're doing. So, I mean, and they say a lot of big bosses really don't talk too much. They just move, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ma, you want to touch on that? We got this new caller on the line. You want to touch on that law right there, 917-657?
Yes, I do. Hey, Les, how you doing?
Is this Regina? Regina. Hey, Regina, what's up? Did you want to touch on that?
I'm sorry about the last time. I'm driving. But I agree with you 100% about number three. You can't let everybody know your business, because when you do, for some reason, it just doesn't come to pass. There's a lot of people like crabs in a barrel. As soon as you tell them something, they're like, well, I'm going to try to do that first, or I'm going to put obstacles in the way so this person can't achieve that. So I'm a firm believer about keeping a lot of things to yourself. Actions speak louder than words. I truly, truly believe that. So eventually they'll see what you're about. I mean, you don't have to be on display too much or anything like that, unless it's just promotion. But to be telling a lot of people your ideas and your, you know, especially when it's in the beginning stages, I think that is a no-no, a big no-no.
definitely. And Regina is actually one of our sponsors, Ohana Shop. If you're looking for that icy ice and that bling bling, log on to www.ohanashop.com. And everything. Stay on the line with us, Regina. Chocolate Mrs., you know, touch on that. What you think?
Regina summed it all up for me. By the way, hi, Regina. I tweet it from time to time, so I just thought to say hey. Regina basically touched on it. You know what I mean? People always want to be in your business, and they always want to know what you're doing. And, you know, I believe in negative energy, you know. If you're constantly letting people know what you're doing and you're constantly putting yourself on display, people can send that negative energy over to you, you know. It can happen. So the best way to go about it all is be mute, you know. Numbers speak volume. So whatever you're doing, if you got more of it going and you're a mass production all on your own, listen, people will definitely see you, and people will then be attracted to you. Trust me.
Definitely. And you know they, you know what they say. They say the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar.
He's a liar. He's a liar. I tell you, he's a liar.
Definitely, he's a liar. So, Peace Queen, Emma, do you want to touch bases on that situation with law number three?
I mean, I just don't want to keep repeating. So everything's been said, pretty much. So
does everybody kind of agree with most of the things that were said just a few minutes ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, you know, never let left hand know what right is doing, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know, and
amen.
If you do anything, keep it simplified, you know. You don't have to let them know what your key actual goal is, you know what I'm saying? You just give enough to, you know, put a little bit of bait on the hook, you know. That's pretty much about it, because especially in this time of days, it's like, I'll quote, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, imagination is more valuable than knowledge, because without imagination, we wouldn't have knowledge. And if you give that person that idea, and ideas is what built this nation and this world. So, I mean, even from the Most High standpoint, religious, if he didn't imagine this, we wouldn't be here. So if you're giving that person that idea, you know, they could take that and run with it and leave you out to dry, you know.
Absolutely.
Genius, you
want to
read law number four?
Yeah, law number four is always say less than necessary. That's funny. That's the next law, because we were just speaking about that. When you are trying to impress people with words, the more you say, the more common you appear, and the less you're in control. Even if you're saying something banal, it will seem original if you make it vague, open-ended, and sphinx-like. Powerful people impress and intimidate by saying less. The more you say, the more likely you are to say something foolish.
Mm.
You know, and my synopsis of that is, you want to leave mystery to a situation, you know. You don't want to talk a hole into the head about something. Try to keep it simple and, you know, straight to the point.
Definitely. Does anybody want to kind of like speak on that one? You know, on that fourth law. Anybody want to jump out there and speak on that?
Nah.
I think the law said it all. I think that law just said it all.
I think it kind of coincided with law number three. Actually, they kind of kind of intertwined together. You know. With law number three and law number four. And I think for a lot of you guys out there that are listening, if you are conducting business or you are a business owner, I think you really need to take heed to that, because sometimes a lot of people, the reason why your downfall is because you run your mouth too much sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a problem, you know. And then, you know, the devil always try to sabotage what you do, because, mm-hmm. you know, the devil can be close to you. You never know. For real. Emma, you got yours open already?
Yeah, I've been having mine.
Okay. All right, go to law number five, Emma.
Well, the law number five is, so much depends on reputation. Guard it with your life. Reputation is the cornerstone of power. Through reputation alone, you can intimidate and win. Once it slips, however, you are vulnerable and will be attacked on all sides. Make your reputation unaccessible. No, I think I read that wrong. Did I read it wrong or right?
Yeah, unassailable.
Unassailable, okay. And it was wrong. Yeah. Always be alert to potential attacks and thwart them before they happen. Meanwhile, learn to destroy your enemies by opening holes in their own reputations. Then stand aside and let public opinion hang them.
You want to give your interpretation of that, Emma?
Yeah, you know, it's something definitely that I live by strongly, and that's, you know, on guarding my reputation and what people say about me, you know, especially me being a woman, me being in the media industry, you know, it's crazy how I have to watch where I, you know, where I step in, who I talk to, how I walk, how I dress. I have to do all this extra stuff to keep a good reputation because I like wherever I go to be able to, you know, keep my head up high, and I don't want nobody pointing at me saying, yeah, but you have to do this to get here where you're at. So I make sure I work double hard, and that's the reputation I have. Nobody can come and say, you know, well, I was, you know, Emma had to step in the closet for 7 minutes in order to get what she's getting now. So reputation is very important because I could stand on my reputation anywhere I go to this day. I mean, I don't even, you know, the reputation follows you. Unlike other people, when you do dirt and other people find out, because this industry is very small, people find out what you're doing, and then you have no trust. People don't want to deal with you, don't want to work with you. So the reputation means everything. I wouldn't take not even a dollar from a person thinking I'm going to get over on a dollar in my pocket if that will cause that person to talk, you know, spiteful about me. Now, mind you, you know, you have your people that will still try to trash you anyway. But if your reputation is intact where other strong people know what you're really about, other people can try to, you know, to try to do that, but because your reputation is intact, people will defend that. They're going to be like, nah, you crazy. It's not even like that because I personally know this person and you need to stop talking about that person. So your reputation already will defend you and protect you as long as you keep it intact. You can't let nothing, you know, nothing. There's not no much amount of money in the world that can give you back a tainted reputation. So you can take a certain amount of money, think you're getting over, oh, well, you know, I did this business deal, I made $200,000, I made $500,000 or whatever, but you had to go and do dirt. All that's going to be found out, and there goes your reputation. So you sold out your reputation for that amount of money because after that you can never get that back. Once you lose that, it's like your virginity. You never get that back.
I think Emma kind of explained that, that whole synopsis, and we're going to move on to the next one. But you know what? We're going to go to a quick song and go to a break, and then we're going to come right back, and we're going to continue with the 48 Laws of Power, and the next one will be law number 6, court attention at all costs. And we'll be back on Street Queens, the movement. I want to definitely give a special thanks to my mom calling in. She's live on the line with us, and all the beautiful kings and queens. And we implore you to call at 347-826-7722. And this song is dedicated to all the beautiful women out there that are hardworking single mothers and are just bosses and doing what they got to do. And I just love y'all guys to death. And this is Maxwell's Woman's Worth, and we'll be back on Street Queens, the movement.
Classic.
Of the fall.
This is Emma E2K. You are now tuned in to Street Queens, The Movement.
That's what it is, and you're now listening to Street Queens, The Movement. And that was Maxwell, A Woman's Worth. And this is a shout-out to all the beautiful women out there that are definitely doing their thing. Keep your head up and always know that you're loved by that higher power. And, you know, if we're not working together, then we're not working at all. Street Queens, The Movement, we support powerful women doing powerful and positive things in their community and their lives. And we're back, and we're talking about the 48 laws of power. How powerful of you. And we're going on to the actual sixth power, court attention at all costs. And we're going to go to the lines in a second. Everything is judged by its appearance. What is unseen counts for nothing. Never let yourself get lost in the crowd then or bury in oblivion. Stand out. Be conceptuous to all costs. Make yourself a magnet for attention by appearing larger, more colorful, more mysterious than the bland and timid masses. So the thing about it is, in the quick synopsis, is basically, the thing is, you ever heard that saying, you got to look the part? And the thing about it is, we have to look the part. If we're trying to command respect or we're trying to command power, we have to look the part. If you said you're a CEO, look the part. Don't come in there and you're wearing house slippers and you're looking like you're raggedy. You got to look the part, look like $1 million, look like a CEO, because we all look on perception. What we see in perception is what we see, so you have to be bold. You have to stand out there and kick the doors down and let them know who you are. You understand what I'm saying? And look the part, because remember, human beings judge from the outside, not from the inside. So that's the situation. But we're going to go ahead and open up the lines for the people and let them touch bases and see what they want to say about that law. I'm going to let the ladies first, because you know they said ladies first, ladies first. I'm going to let the ladies go first. Ma, you want to touch on that one?
No. I'm just listening in because I'm in the middle of trying to do two things, so I'm going to be getting out from the ball.
Okay, Ma. So that's what it is. She's going to stay on the line with us. But Emma, would you like to touch bases on that that law right there?
I think it kind of piggybacks off of the law number 5 with the reputation, the appearance, and all that. I think that kind of will fall right into that. You know, guarding your reputation and then watching out for your appearance. It's definitely important. It's like we had the discussion, I believe it was on yesterday's show, and, you know, we had touched on these rappers going on stage looking like they just woke up or like they just, you know, somebody just threw them a wrinkled shirt and they threw it on and, you know, so your appearance is very important when you walk in a meeting. You know, the first impression that people see of you is what they're going to take with them. I mean, you can be the smartest person, but they got to sit down to really talk to you to know that you're smart. So initially when they look at you, just to look at you, they're going to go by that, you know, and that goes back in your reputation. If you have a reputation of being a person that's always well-dressed and always well-kept or whatever, that goes a long way too. Like, you know, nah, that person's always dressed sharp. I know that I can rely on that person to represent me or represent their company, you know, in a correct manner.
Definitely. I'm going to try this. 917-657, you're live. You want to touch on that?
Yeah, I agree with what she was just saying. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with what she was just saying because first impressions, you know, are lasting. Sometimes it's not fair, but that's just how society is. You definitely have to present yourself in a professional manner at all times. I was watch Monique's show. She always say, you don't want to get ready, you got to be ready. And that is so true because it could be that opportunity that you could be staring you right in the face, but because you're not presenting yourself in a professional manner, it goes on to the next person. So you always want to be ready, you know, especially if you're in a business, for an opportunity to arise. You don't want to say, oh, let me get this done. Oh, let me go back home and change and this and that. No, you don't want to do that. So I totally agree with what she was saying.
Definitely. We got a caller from the 347-583. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Lush. This is Lethal List. I was just calling in. I saw that what you guys were talking about. So I said I'm going to bless the show. You have to bear with me because I caught it on the latter end. What law are you guys talking about? And can you repeat the law so I can see if I have something to say about it?
The law that we're talking about is law number 6. It's called court attention at all costs. Everything is judged by its appearance. What is unseen
counts. It says what to attention? Say the first part.
It says court attention at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
It says everything is judged by its appearance. What is unseen counts for nothing. Never let yourself get lost in a crowd, then or buried in the oblivion. Stand out. Be conspicuous at all costs. Make yourself a magnet for attention by appearing larger, more colorful, more mysterious than the bland and timid masses.
Okay. You know what? Okay, so what do you want? You want me to give my opinion on that law?
Yeah, on that law, the quick synopsis was basically we said that,
this is what I was going to say. I'm going to actually, I always like to play the devil's advocate, right? So I'm going to take the other end of it. Sometimes it's not necessarily what you have on. If you're in, it also is saying make sure you stand out, and it could be your attitude. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, and I mean, sometimes if everyone is running like the same rat race in the same direction, if you run sideways, you stand out more, and people want to see why. They want to know why, because it takes courage to be different. You know what I mean? Like it may mean oh, it's a black tie affair or all white a party, and it means you wear yellow. But you also have to have the certain type of confidence to wear that. You know what I'm saying? Because confidence, it comes from the inside.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So that takes courage, and you are going to stand out. Some people may say it all depends on the type of person, because a certain type of individual will feel very uncomfortable knowing that they're wearing yellow in an all-white party, you know? And
mm-hmm.
another individual will feel empowered, and it shows.
That's the truth. That's definitely the truth. James, you want to touch on that?
I'll just say something, rest in peace, that my grandfather used to tell me, and that's just that, you know, you want to be the most seen when it comes to, you know, demand of need and success. And you want to be invisible when it comes to, you know, failure and disarray. You know, and
mm-hmm.
that's pretty much, you know, summing up, you know, Law 6, because you want to be the most known. And like she said, it's not even just appearance, but your character, which is something that is actually seen before your outfit and everything. That's the thing that leaves the lasting impression, you know.
Yeah.
So how you actually represent that, you have to know how to market yourself, you know, in order to be able to show that, you know. So it's not even necessarily outfit, because you can put a suit on anybody, but it doesn't mean that they know what it takes to wear that suit, you know.
Exactly.
So it's important that we know how to market ourselves and make ourselves seen when it comes to that demand of need for that success, you know, and to be invisible when it comes to, you know, that road of failure, you know, which is definitely important. So, you know, that's my synopsis of that.
He made a lot of sense, Lush. And you know what? I think people were trying to interpret the law a little bit too literally by thinking
uh-huh.
when they say appearances, they mean your attire.
Uh huh.
You know, and
yeah,
I don't think I don't think when it comes to appearances, it doesn't necessarily mean your attire. You know,
uh-huh.
a person can have a larger than life like mannerisms, and you can see it in their aura when they enter a room.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, you got a lot of people that have a great spirit. They have just a strong personality that outshines, you know, different situations. So definitely, you know, your attitude, you know, and you know, and with every law, you know,
we all interpret it different, but we're giving everybody, you know, synopsis. So all the wonderful people that we have here, from Lethal to everybody on here, are giving, you know, feedback on the show. So, you know, if you guys got comments or anything, you guys can call in at 347-826-7722 or hit us in the chat room and everything like that. Emma, do you want to go into the seventh law for us?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. The seventh law is get others to do the work for you, but always take the credit. This is a,
wow.
This is a boss law. This is definitely a boss law.
Yeah.
Get others to do the work for you, but always take the credit. Use the wisdom, knowledge, and network of other people to further your own cause. Not only will such assistance save you valuable time and energy, it will give you a godlike aura of efficiency and speed. In the end, your helpers will be forgotten and you will be remembered. Never do yourself what others can do for you.
Wow. How do you guys feel about that law right there? Yeah, how do you guys feel about that law?
That's definitely a boss law, and it's a true law. Not everybody really can really take it all the way. I'm gonna be honest. I'm one that, although I'm a boss and although I have people work for me and all that, I don't share that mentality. That could be a downfall for me, but that's something that that's just something that in my nature, I just can't do that. Like, I'm used to being hands-on and probably doing more work than the people I hire. So, I mean, that could be, like I said, a downfall. It's a great law that a lot of the big people use, you know, but I guess everybody got to feel comfortable at the end of the day when they go to bed, you know? So.
Yeah, I don't know. That law kind of sound real harsh, but, like, at the end of the day, some of the people that are multi-billionaires are actually following that law, you know? So, I mean, it's a catch-22, you know, on that and that law. So, but Chocolate Misses, you want to touch on that real quick?
I can't say I agree with that one. I mean, yes, from a boss's standpoint, that may be all good and well. You know, I have a relative who, she has an aunt who develops software for companies like IBM, and they pay her off, you know, and they pass it as their own, you know. But me personally, I can't say that if I was ever in a position of power, that I would go ahead and take someone's idea solely because everything you do in the dark eventually comes to light, you know? So if I have to sit there and steal other people's ideas and try to pass them off as my own and not give that person the credit for it, there's no way. That to me, there's no way that would work, you know? And karma comes back in threefold, you know? So you've taken people's ideas and you're not giving them the proper recognition that they deserve and the proper respect. Your downfall is coming.
Well, Lethal, how you feel about that law, Lethal?
Oh, gosh, why'd you ask me? Well, okay, I have two opinions on the situation. I feel like we would have to actually read more into that chapter to find out what they actually said about it, because, you know, they always explain everything by example. But one thing I could say is, truthfully, they say let others do the work for you. Majority of the time with problems that arise nowadays that we have, we're not innovators. Like, things that we're looking for solutions to, someone has already found the answer already before us, majority of the time. So, like, people do the footwork for us. It's just for you to go out and find it. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's one opinion. That's the only way I could find a positive way to look at that law. And what was the second one? It just came off so harsh the way that the law was stated. Oh, the second way that I was thinking about a positive way I could look at it was it's quite possible. Sometimes you do have those people that work, but I mean, when you receive payment for something, you got paid. You know what I'm saying? That is your job. regardless of the fact, whatever level you are on, you may have come up with the idea, but truth be told, you may not have the power in order to put it into fruition. You know what I'm saying? Like, whereas I can come up with something that is phenomenal, and I present it to, you know, to the public, and it will go nowhere. Whereas if I present it to somebody like Puff Daddy or someone with some sort of power, regardless of the fact, it may reach further. You know what I'm saying?
That's why they hire
certain people in certain positions. You know, you get what I'm saying? Everybody cannot be the boss.
Right.
Yeah, that's why we got situations where you got too many Indians and you know, too many chiefs and no Indians, man. So, you know, nobody wants to stay in their lane. You know,
but truth be told, everybody is just as important as, you know what I'm saying? In the pyramid, if the bottom falls, everything just, you know what I'm saying, everything falls. So
exactly.
Everybody plays a role.
Yeah. I think what bothered me most was the line where it said it will give you a godlike aura of efficiency and speed. That godlike thing, I think that's what kind of bothered me, myself personally, the most. I mean, you know, you're not trying to, just because you're boss or whatever doesn't mean you have to be godlike. You know what I mean? So I believe in that team effort. You know, like, we all, you know, we all working hard. We all going to get there. Of course, there's always, you know, the steps. And there's always that, you know who the boss is, but not that a boss has to be godlike. You know what I mean? But what, like you said, somebody hires you to be in a certain position. Like if you're vice president, if you're this, you're that, then you play your role. You're not gonna go and be CEO. You know, nobody shies.
And that's another reason why the first law is very important. Like that actually coincides with it. It says never supersede the master until you're actually able to surpass him. You feel what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You cannot make your thoughts be obvious to everyone. But, like, with Puffy, I take him, I keep using him as an example because he's, like, come a long way in so many years, and he's considered a boss. But I doubt that everything he does is from him. But you know what I'm saying? We only see him as that image. And he does have a godlike aura. But I know he has a team. You know what I'm saying? And I know that team is what creates him to be so successful.
But
we don't see them. We only know him.
Yeah, also with Donald Trump, you know, I know he had a whole big team, but who even knows who some of the people that work for him? We only know Donald Trump, the entity. We only know, Puffy as the entity. It's so many people that blood, sweat, and tears, but who cares about them? Honestly, the way the world is, you're only looking at him, Puffy. You know what I mean? Come on. I mean, the people that are actually high in power, some of this stuff relates to what's going on with them. Bugsy, you want to touch base on that while we move into the next law?
I mean, I kind of got mixed feelings on that one, man. I mean, I know when you a boss, you know, you got to have people doing certain things. That's part of the whole thing right there. But, I mean, my feeling on that is, I mean, if I can do all this and you taking the credit for it, I mean, honestly, like, what do I need to be here for? I can do this, you know, for myself. But like they said, you got to play your part and play your role. So, I mean, I kind of got mixed feelings. I don't want to go all night on it. So, you know, I got to catch 22 on that one.
I made an amendment to that. I mean, being an officer in the Navy, my standpoint, I agree to that in a certain extent, but it's about how you go about it, you know, because you actually will re-need those people. And I'll use Bill Gates as an example. When you look at Microsoft, everybody thinks Bill Gates, but he had a staff of 12 people, you know, that shared in his idea. And how he went about it is he made those people feel as equal. Even though he was the person that stood out, you know, he approached it in a manner of we, not I. You know what I'm saying? And everybody seeing that same common goal and everybody playing their position to achieve that. So I think I'd have to make an amendment, and I would say it's about how you go about that. You know, because
yeah,
I feel what Buddy is saying.
I think we should make it, because I'm sorry, that law sounds so harsh. Like, I don't know. There's no way to, like, sugarcoat that law.
But you know,
so
truthfully, I think what we really need for that is we really need somebody. Like, everyone considers themselves a boss. I think we would actually have to have somebody that has a real boss's mentality. Like, a boss never, like, a manager doesn't necessarily have to do the job. They allow the job to work smoothly. You understand what I'm saying? So the boss doesn't necessarily have to actually do the footwork. It is with them that everything flourishes. You understand? Because every worker has their part, and some people have the ingenuity to actually, you know, do things. But realistically, do they have the ability to be the boss and do that? It's not all the time.
That's the truth.
Because realistically, the boss's job is not just to make sure you do one project. Like, he's the overseer for everything.
You never lied about that one, because it's definitely not a game when you a CEO, man. it's definitely a job. You never lied about that one, Lethal, for real. We got, man, the lines is blowing up like crazy right now up to 48 Laws of Power, man. This is serious. Dang, yo, if you're calling in right now, you're listening to Street Queens of Movement, Beautiful Women and Beautiful Men live on the line, and we're talking about the 48 Laws of Power, and we're discussing each law, and we want to get your feedback out there. So call in at 347-826-7722. We are going in. The lines are packed right now. Emma, you want to go into the next law, or Genius, either one of you?
I'll let the lady go first. I'll let the beautiful queen go.
Law number 8.
Oh, my God. That's good home training right there, I'll tell you. That's good home training. Law number 8 is make other people come to you. Use bait if necessary. When you force the other person to act, you are the one in control. It is always better to make your opponent come to you, abandoning his own plans in the process. Lure him with fabulous games, then attack. You hold the cards.
Ooh, I like that one.
I got, you know, I had something to say. You know what's crazy? Another thing we got to realize, the name of the book is The 48 Laws of Power. And power does not equal friendship all the time.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's going to look bad. It's going to look bad sometimes. But that's with love. Like, realistically, I'm going to associate that with love. Like, when you're in a relationship, usually the person who loves the least is the one who's in control of the relationship. They say that all the time.
Ooh.
Yeah, they also say that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mhm.
Wow.
You know, so keeping that in mind, I mean, in a situation like that, is manipulation.
Yeah,
you get the money,
they
get the power, then you get the women.
It is manipulation, but you know, that's the reason. The way that they usually counteract that is by doing some what do you call it? Some charity.
Yeah. Make a person make it appear what it's not. They sugarcoat it to make it appear what it actually isn't. You know, you're actually showing it as if, you know, it's like a sweepstakes or a flyer that you get in the mail, you know, to make you appear as if you're receiving something, you know, but you're really not receiving something, because you got to give something in order to get it, and that's just the power of it, you know, to make it appear. It's like the devil, you know what I'm saying? The devil, he don't make you do something. He make it look so sweet and so good, as if it's picture perfect, that you want to go out and do it.
You know
what?
I'm not gonna lie. I feel like I'm a victim. I'm a guilty of a lot of things then, because I think I'm a very manipulative individual. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I swear to God, like I'm genuinely a good person. Like, I don't do things to hurt people intentionally, right? But one thing I will say is I do like my way, and if it might seem like I'm doing something super duper nice, but more than likely it is to get something that I want, and I'm not gonna lie.
Wow.
Well, it's like internet. It's like we all use the internet, for instance, Twitter and all that. What's that about? You throw out links and all that, and you're making people go to websites, you're making people listen to music. You know, we do that all day long on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We actually making people come to our website, you know, come check out what we're doing. Come call in the radio show right now. We're blasting it off everywhere. So, you know what I'm saying? How people
know we talk about the 48 laws because we out there blasting.
You know what? You know what? Someone did tell me I did learn something. What was I going to say? Lush. A girlfriend of mine told me something. She said everyone uses people. She said, but do you feel misused?
Right.
Because she said, realistically, any individual, majority of people, they do not do something unless there is something, some way, in some shape or form in there for them. So as long as they do it, they don't feel misused, then it's okay. Because regardless of, you may say someone tricked you into doing something, they invited you to some party, and they made you do something you didn't want to do, there was something that you gained out of it to some extent. Because if not, then you're a fool for doing it.
Definitely. We got two callers on the line. Well, I got a caller from the 347, live on the line. 347, you're live in the building with Street Queens, the movement. You want to touch on what we just talked about?
Yo, this is the one and only Swag. What it is?
Oh, what man, up, what happened?
Hey. Okay.
Hey.
What
you
up,
stayed, baby. You stayed, man.
What's up with you? You late, Swag. You supposed to jump this off, man. What's wrong with you, Swag?
You in our face,
y'all talking about my 48 laws. What's good, man?
Hey, it's not you. We have to take over.
You want to talk about this, Swag? Because you're the one that inspired this whole situation anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the particular law that you guys are building about right now, the 8th law, yeah, that's a law that is, like she was saying, the queen was saying, it's used. You know what I mean? You use that every single day in your life, and it's no problem with that. But this is where the challenge comes in. See, okay, no problem. You could use me, but guess what? I'm going to use you too. So it's like, you know, it's like that's the law. That law right there is, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but that law is like dealing with the mirror effect. You know what I'm saying? The law that deals with the mirror effect. Because if you use me, I can use you too. So it's like now we're dealing with more of an exchange. Like, I'll give you an example, right? Boom, okay. Like, I work for a big corporation, right? A huge, huge, huge corporation. Now, okay, no doubt you guys are using me on weekends and all that. But guess what? I'm using you for your money to get things that I want to get. And I'm using your health benefits and your medical and dental, and I'm taking care of my girl. You know what I mean? So it's a fair exchange. Now, the question is, who is benefiting more? That's the question. Even in a relationship, you know, as the queen was saying, even in a personal intimate relationship, it's still, you know, somebody's going to use what they have to get what they want.
Some of that sugar. Yeah.
You learn that in like kindergarten. You know what I mean? Like you have to pay ten cents to get an icy. Like you learn that, you know what I'm saying? It's the exchange system. So that law is, I mean, that's a universal law. That's not, and they're saying use bait if necessary. The bait could be anything. You know what I mean? The bait could be a body part. You know what I'm saying? The bait can be your swag. The bait can be you know, your personality. Because some people can use their personality as bait because their personality is so attractive. That's going into another science, which is called the
seduction.
Right. But I mean, even before we get to seduction, the attraction, the magnetic conscious is what I'm talking about. Where you can have I've mastered that where I can, when I'm sitting down looking at someone, I can make, and I sound arrogant, but I can make it where when they're looking into my eyes, I'm attracting them to me because I'm paying such, you know, detailed attention to what they're saying. So, I'm definitely feeling that, Laura.
Wait,
I mean,
so that swag right there, Lush, or when we're finished, I mean, me and Swag need to have a conversation. No, because you know what, his reading list is similar to my reading list, and sometimes it's necessary to speak to other people that are on your wavelength.
That's right. Correct.
Absolutely. But if he's stepping in, I'm Swag manager, so everything gotta come through me, ladies. Right? Let's take it down a notch here.
Okay, well, you can sit in on the conversation.
there was someone else on the line. I don't want to take up all the time. You know, I guess someone else is on the line. If you want to go back, Lush?
Yeah,
No. The other person on the line actually dropped off and stuff, but we're going to move on to the next law. But, I mean, this is, see, we try to create different things each and every Thursday for you guys, you know, because we talk about deep thoughts because this can apply to your everyday life. And we're also going to throw out some books that we want you guys to pick up and read and stuff. And if you want a copy of it via email of the 48 Laws of Power, you can email me at CEO Lush Radio Online, and it's only $2. Only $2. If you're listening to the show, I can send it to you. Only $2. Okay? So send me an email, and we can get that cracking. The ninth law, win through your actions, never through arguments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on with their phone over there, but any monetary triumph you think gained through argument is really a cyphric victory. The sentiment and the ill will you steer up is stronger and lasts longer than any momentary change or opinion. It is much more powerful to get others to agree with you through your actions without saying a word. Demonstrate, do not explicitate. Yeah, that's the law number 9.
Yeah.
And stuff. So I guess kind of like, you know, you don't really have to argue with the people, you know. Like they say again, actions speak louder than words. Like, you want to act stupid? I don't even have to bow down to your level. I don't want to bow down to your level. I don't even have to do that. But I'm gonna get you though. I'm gonna get you.
Hey, Lush, you gonna get that. Hey, look, in addition to that, it's really not effective to argue. That's the point of the law. It's not effective.
It's a waste of energy.
You're doing all this arguing. You're sitting here saying, yeah, but you know what? Well, you know what? You went through my phone first. And no, because you know what? I'm tired of these women calling this goddamn house. Like, you're sitting there arguing for 2 days, and you didn't accomplish anything. Okay?
You know what?
So,
I'm going to give you a prime example. You know what? One thing I can say is in my past relationships, I have had plenty of success with, you know, being in control of the situation, because I make it very clear that you do this one time, I do not go back on my word. We're not going to do this anymore. Like, it's over. Dead serious. Because I'm no, like, we're not going to do this. So, like, I tend to have respectful men in my circle. You know what I mean? Because they realize that I'm not joking. By example, I don't call back. I'm very stern.
That's what it is.
She wins through action.
It is through action. Argument, a lot of people, I tell them when they're arguing, I said, not because you're louder. It doesn't make what you're saying right.
It doesn't. But then a lot of times, though, what I notice is when people who decide that they're going to sit and argue, I notice that they don't realize the negative energy, going back to what I said earlier. They're not realizing that this negative energy is manifesting, and now you're messing up the whole, like, you're shifting things off balance just by arguing. My whole thing is I'm not going to waste my breath to sit and argue with you. You know what? My actions will speak louder. So if I open my door, let's say hypothetically I'm in a relationship, if I open my door and I tell you get out my house, you know, and I don't have to be rude about it, but if I open my door, you're going to know to leave. I don't have to argue with you. I don't have to yell. I don't have to raise my voice. I don't have to do none of that garbage. I politely let you go. That's what a lot of people fail to realize is when you argue, being argumentative is something negative. You are now putting or releasing negative energy out there, and that's going to throw off your whole balance. People do not understand this.
Not even just that, like everybody stated, it's a waste of time. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. You want to be petty? I don't got time for it. I'm out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to holler at you later. Holler at me when you get your mind right. Come on, who's got time to waste all that energy when you can focus that energy on something productive that you can do? Like, come on now, you just wasted 15 minutes of my time that I could be making money or doing something that was beneficial in my life. Like, come on. All that arguing.
You know what I say?
Three minutes that you spend on arguing that you can't get back.
Right.
Yeah.
That's time that you done that's time you've taken from yourself. Man, I could be striking a pose. Go ahead somewhere.
You know what I say? Go. I say that arguments is like cursing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People curse because out of frustration because they don't know how to deal with the situation. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's wasted energy. And if you feel
mm-hmm.
that you have to argue, that means you don't know how to properly handle the situation because you don't have
exactly.
to argue to actually correct the situation. If you have to argue, then that means that you're lacking in what it really takes to deal with the situation. It doesn't take
uh-huh.
raising your voice. You know, it doesn't take using profound uses of vulgarity. You know, you
mm-hmm.
can let your actions, and it takes a wise person to do that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and once you're able to do that, you actually feel a whole lot better. Like me, I live by three principles, no stress, no drama, no problems. People think that's impossible. I'm for real, and that's my New Year's resolution every year, and it intensifies every year, you know,
May
because
I
don't argue about anything. Yes.
What's your name?
My name is Esteban.
Okay,
Esteban. So.
No, I just wanted to know how to address you. Okay, so Esteban, I just have one simple question. Are you a smoker?
Am I a smoker? No.
Okay, that's all. I just wanted to know, because usually the people with no stress, no problems, no drama are high.
No,
but,
no.
Okay, I don't smoke at all. I'll be the ass.
Nah, you shouldn't have to actually put something in your body in order for you to be a certain way. You should naturally be able to achieve those things.
But so I don't smoke. I just noticed that those are the people that usually appear calm. They say without the weed, they can't be calm.
Nah, I don't need to stimulate my mind that way.
Okay.
Right. Those are people that look for an excuse. My thing is, if you really say you don't want no drama or no problems, you need to hold yourself to that. You need to be accountable for that. People are only going to do what you allow them to do. And so...
Absolutely.
If you're not trying to have any drama, as soon as you see somebody that's coming with all that negative energy and coming with all that baggage, you have the choice or the option to say, you know what, in my circle of peace, I don't want you, you know? In my world, I don't need you. Like, what's the point? You're just going to throw me off, you know? And I've had to tell that to a couple of people. Like, look, you are cut off. That's it.
Oh, wow.
Bottom line, you're gonna be serving.
Hey, everybody! You know we got 48 laws of power, so I think we should move on to.
I don't think we're gonna make all of those today.
Law 11. Law 11.
What happened to 10?
Part two. I think we're gonna have to part two because Emma. Emma, you wanna go on to the next one, Emma? For
Are we up to law 10?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Law 10. Infection. Avoid the unhappy and unlucky.
Yeah.
You can die from someone else's misery. Emotional states are as infectious as diseases. You may feel you are helping the drowning man, but you are only precipitating, and did I say that correctly? Because I like to say the word. Okay. Your own disaster. The unfortunate sometimes draw misfortune on themselves. They will also draw it on you. Associate with the happy and fortunate instead. I think that's just what the queen had just expressed right before I went into this.
Yeah. She, I think Precious actually touched bases on that. That she kind of summed all of that up, you know. Positive energy, you know what I'm saying, brings in positive energy. Negative energy sends out negative energy. So sometimes your downfall can be caused by you because you are negative. You know what I mean? Like some of y'all cats walk around with the frown face like, yeah, you know what I'm saying, yeah, you know what I'm saying, they holding me down. Like, shut up. Pick yourself up and do what you got to do, man. Get out of here.
You know what
I'm saying?
Pick your
pants up. 32 muscles to smile. 32 muscles to smile, 36 to frown. It's easier to be happy.
Shout out to
like
all y'all crybabies out there. Shout out to all y'all crybabies that blame everybody. You a skirt. You are a skirt. Skirt.
I work a lot in the clubs, right? And, you know, in the nightclubs and all that. And, of course, you already know the type of environment that is.
most of the people are coming in already with attitudes, and they're, like, upset.
Yeah.
And God forbid you tell them they got to pay $20 a door. They're like, oh, my goodness. And, you know, it's like a whole thing. But I've noticed it's a difference between me and my other friend. When I'm at the door, you know, people actually come in. They smile. They, okay, no problem, how much it is, whatever. Because it's how you, the energy that you give out to somebody is what you're going to receive back. If you're grilling somebody as they're walking in, they're already like, oh. But if you smile, hey, how you doing? You're coming here to enjoy yourself? Of course, yeah. You know how much it is tonight? Okay, yeah, you're going to have a great time, whatever. They're like, oh, right. And you kind of change their mood. So that's why they always try to have me at the front. They're like, no, Emma, because you avoid problems. Like, they don't even, you got these thug niggas that don't even fight. They're willing, like, to pay double. You know?
Yeah.
And it's because I'm not grilling them. I'm not giving them, I'm not, you know, getting off like, oh, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. No, sweetie, listen, this is the way it is. These are the rules here. You got to pay, and then you come in. Are you good with that? Oh, of course, man, no problem. What I got to do? Here, pay here, go inside. Yeah, exactly, and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how you approach the people, and you can affect people positive or negatively.
That's definitely true. I think that kind of summed up number 10. I think we need to go on to 11. And I really think that we're going to have to break this up to, like, 4 shows, because there's no way in hell we're going to get the 48 laws of power tonight at all.
Hold on.
Oh, no.
You play some music. We got time, girl. Let's go. 11.
No.
Let's go.
Yeah, well, we're going to go into number 11, and I got to throw some music in there for the people, you know what I'm saying? They got to feel a little love and a little stuff.
They want the law. Let's play the law.
Yeah, they don't need to hear no damn music.
And Jen.
Yo, law number 11, learn to keep people dependent on you. To maintain your independence, you must always be needed and wanted. The more you are relied on, the more freedom you have. Make people depend on you for their happiness and prosperity, and you have nothing to fear. Never teach them enough so that they can do it without you. So make sure you got them stripping on a leash, pimping. You already know what it is. Shout out to all them Geppettos out there, man, and all y'all Pinocchios out there, for real. You know how it is. Speak on it, players. Speak on it.
Let me say something about this law, first and foremost. Actually, let me say something about the book in general. Because a lot of times you hear the laws, you're like, yeah, damn, that's not moral, that's immoral. Let me say this. The book is also to counter power. See, because a lot of times these laws are used against us. Like, the people, they probably never even read the 48 laws, but this country is so corrupt that they learn how to maneuver these laws and manipulate these laws against people.
Yeah.
So this book is also, because when you have knowledge, it can help you defend yourself as well. It's not only for offense, it's for defense as well. So, you know, this is good, particularly, I'll use an example of, let's say, like, a woman, she's in a relationship where the man is abusing his power because he has, you know, he has a certain amount of wealth or whatever, and she doesn't have that. She doesn't have the education, so she's dependent on him. And he keeps it that way, you know, to the point where he's like, yo, I don't want you going to college, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, you go over there, you're going to be trying to take over. And he's not going to tell her that. He's just going to say, I don't want you going over there. You don't need that shit. I'll take care of you. He's keeping her dependent. So when she arms herself with this type of knowledge, she's able to combat that. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, like, I have a daughter, so I have to think about these things. But just generally speaking, like, these laws help you. Your boss will do it. If you ever worked in corporate America or any kind of job that involves money, they use these type of laws against you. You know what I mean? They want to keep you dependent on them. And they don't want to teach you too much. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Even on a higher echelon, like, even on a higher level, like, if you think about, like, even college never really teaches you how to be a strong entrepreneur. They just teach
you
how to be a good slave.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, I was just about to say that, like, being a college student, I can honestly tell you that you basically are never taught how to go out there and apply what you learn. You know, it's always like, okay, you have this education, I'm going to put all this stuff in your head, but I'm not going to teach you how to go out into the real world and apply. For an example, I'm a speech communications major, you know. So my whole thing is I want to go into broadcast journalism. Teach me how to break into that. You understand? Yes. Tell me the technical terms that I need to talk about communication. Great. But teach me how to break into that, because I can come out of college and be like, well, what do I do now? You know, if I wasn't smart, if I didn't want to inquire, I would be like, come December when I graduate, it's a done deal, because I'd probably sit at home, look at my mom and say, hey, I don't know what to do in my field, so I'm going to just go pick up a job elsewhere, because I wasn't taught how to break into my field.
Right, and
you
that's
know?
By design. That's by design. Mm-hmm. Like, you're talking about broadcast. Like, I work for CBS Corporation. You know what I mean? Like, they run the, you know, I don't know if you know about Clear Channel, but Clear Channel runs the radio.
Yeah, Clear Channel is the channel of Viacom, all that, man. It's all one world order, man. It's,
you know what I mean?
It's a setup.
So yeah. Working at this corporation, CBS Corporation, I see this. I see interns come in and, you know, people that are majoring. And they, it's a system, you know, designed by the wealthy. They don't want you to become wealthy, you know what I'm saying? Cause
But go ahead.
Hold on, let me say something real quick to y'all.
Okay,
real quick.
I really have something to say.
take for instance, example, your everyday life, every 9-to-5 job you work, right? The government, your job is only going to give you enough for you to survive on, so you can still be median on them. You still need them. You still need that job. They give you enough to survive, but not enough for you to be content, but just enough to string you along.
Yeah, and
that's the situation. You know,
but
go ahead and speak on it now.
Only thing I was going to say is, really, like, you know, we're talking about this book, The 48 Laws of Power. I mean, it was on the bestseller list, but everyone is just because it was on the list, they assume that they should read it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Truth be told, I feel like the book is not for everyone to read. And I think the only reason that a lot of people even know about it is because it was so publicized and stuff like that. But realistically, just like with everything else, the knowledge is there for anyone who wants to find it. It's not like we have these big secrets. They're actually in books. It's for people to actually go out and find the information. Like, as far as she was saying with you go to college and stuff like that, I think that's why they give the interning jobs, so people could know what it's like to be in a weak workforce. Certain things just cannot be taught. You know what I'm saying? It is about you have to just go through certain things, you know? And, like, the 48 Laws of Power, everybody cannot be the boss. It's just impossible. Like, so that some of that knowledge that's in that book, it's not even – many will read it, and it's not even meant for them to understand or grasp.
Well, I definitely
understand what you're saying, Queen, because, like I said, if I wasn't the type of person that researched, I probably wouldn't have gotten my internship with BET. I probably wouldn't have gotten my internship with Disney. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At the same time, come on now. If you want to take $24,000 a year from somebody – I think you should, at least a certain extent, have that information available for me, you know? I mean, like I said, not everybody knows where to look, you know? And what
that
blessed
is
me for me,
you know,
for me
that,
to get
that,
my
that's
internship.
What, but you know what, Chris, the question is, the truth be told, that's what, like, that's what is the difference between a lot of people. Like, truth, I was valedictorian, right, in school. And realistically, I'm not going to lie to you. I know I was not smarter than everybody in that school. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I know that for a fact. I was not smarter than every single person in my school. But I did know how to get answers. You understand?
Right.
Like, I used the internet. I would go on the computer. I would search. And one thing I learned was if you ask a question, if you don't know something, and I figured out, I'm not going to lie, I learned to manipulate every single one of my teachers. And I did not do that by being a teacher's pet. I saw what it was that they would give me that grade in that class, because each teacher is an individual and all of them are different.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? And I mastered each person, and that's how I got that title. Other than that, I know I'm not smarter than the rest of them.
Oh, well, you know? I need to come to you, my friend, to get some answers so I can get back on these lists and get this going. This year,
I think Lito needs to give a class or something. I think Lito needs to give a class for real.
She needs to give a class. Like,
you know what I'm saying. It's
just manipulation.
Each teacher is different. Some teachers will let you slide, and you might not be doing so well on your test. But, you know, you make up that extra credit, you do certain things, and it turns out you move from an 80 to 100. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So each, you have to know who you're dealing with. And,
yeah,
and you can't deal with every teacher the same way.
And
sometimes they'll let you slide because, you know, you're always on time. You act like you're interested. You try your best. It is what it is, and they'll let you slide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but those types of things in a situation like that, I mean, you've even utilized some of those principles because, I mean, that's what these are, principles. You were the
mm-hmm.
type of person, and this is what all people have to strive to be, is the type of person that pays attention to detail. You paid enough attention to the details or the characteristics of each one of the teachers that you had to know what, you know, those fallacies that they had to work to your benefit. And that's what
mm-hmm.
these things are, whether used in a positive or in a negative manner, you know, are for. As with all of these types of books, from, you know, the Tao Ching Manual to Art of War, all of these things are principles that are actually used. But it takes a person paying attention to the detail to be able to even know that. And that's what school doesn't prepare you for reality. You know, they structure things.
Yeah.
It's like a limitation. It's like when they signed the Emancipation Proclamation and said, yeah, you're free. But what they really meant was you're free to work for it. So you're basically still a slave. We're removing the label of slave, you know, so you feel like you're free. You know, we're going to give you something monetary called payment, but still not pay you what you're worth, you know, to steal gain from you. You know, but that takes paying attention.
Hold that thought, y'all. We got another caller. Caller from the 917. You're live on Street Queens the Movement. We're talking about the 48 Laws of Power. State your name and where you're calling from. 917. See, there y'all go, man. Y'all holding up the convo, man. Come on. But you can stay on the line and listen. Love you.
Press one to talk.
Yo, Genius. Like, that's real what you just said, Aki. I mean, it's like, when I think about it, it's like the theory, the school is theory. Because I know when I was in college, none of that stuff applied to the real life. You know what I'm saying? Like, actually working and seeing the different techniques that are used, like, you can't learn that in a book. Another thing is that information that you get is outdated. You know what I mean? Like, understand, we're living in this, like, post-recession time. So the stuff that you read prior to that is totally different now. Now everybody's cutting back on budgets. So that means that now you have a staff that's, you normally would have 10 people, you're going to have 5 or 6 people now. So that you know, that doubles the work. So that doubles the stress. Like, I mean, they're not going to teach you that in a book. So those are things that you just got to speak to people who are in the real world and understand what's going on.
And the other thing about it is, just like y'all said, right, you know, you got people coming out, and this is what I said, because it's in my pet peeve, you got people that got master's degrees and freaking PhDs don't got no common sense. Common sense at all.
They
don't know anything. And the thing about it is that you got a lot of people in positions that come in and they think, okay, well, I'm going to go into my field and I'm going to know. But half of that stuff you learn is out the door, because when you get in there, you in real-life situation. How you going to handle the pressure? That's the situation.
Right.
How you going to handle the pressure? This is a real-life audible. Stuff, but you in real life, you really got to cut that person open. You really got to go and you got to command a group of students. Do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is a whole different ball game.
It's like
you
when
know?
They give you a license to drive. It's like they give you a license to drive, especially to the young kids. They ain't had that much experience in driving. They got to learn that on the road. Just because they got a license don't mean they're the best driver.
Right.
That comes with experience.
Definitely, that's the truth. That's definitely the truth. And I guess we're going to move on to the next law, because we getting too deep into that one joint.
Law number 12.
That joint put out 12, a can 12. Of worms. Yeah, 12, yeah. But I'm go ahead, Jeans, go ahead, read 12.
Law number 12 is use selective honesty and generosity to disarm your victim. Which that actually works. One sincere...
Mm-hmm.
An honest move will cover over dozens of dishonest ones. Open-hearted gestures of honesty and generosity bring down the guard of even the most suspicious people. Once your selective honesty opens a hole into their armor, you can deceive and manipulate them at will. A timely gift, a Trojan horse, will serve the same purpose.
I like the horse because if you know go back to the Greek mythology of the Trojan horse, which was the greatest battle tactic ever, you know, especially for you guys that ex-military or military, you know that, you know, we into the whole battle strategy of the art of war. You got this gift that you're presenting to somebody, and it seems like, oh, it's a nice little gift, but not knowing that inside there are several lethal soldiers inside that are ready to ambush you, you know. So, definitely speak on it.
You know what, and I'm going to say it another way. A lot of people always ask me, you know, why didn't you just ask me for a favor? I would have gladly done that for you. And I say, you know what, I'm so sorry, but I don't really do favors. And the reason that, you know, the reason why I don't ask for favors, or, you know, I don't just, you know, take it lightly, is because, remember, you will have to return that favor. There is a price. Mm-hmm. There's a cost for everything. You know, and I don't. Sometimes I'm not willing to return the, you know what I mean? I'm not willing to, I don't, what it costs, I'm not willing to get that up.
Mm-hmm.
Something as little as a cab ride, you know, taking you somewhere around the corner, you don't even know what you just stepped into.
Exactly.
Right.
This law is used a lot in politics, you know, because they do that to us a lot, the politicians. They come on the scene, and, you know, and I mean, I like Obama, but that's all part of the whole deception, is to make you like them. It's like it's like when you go to a job and you sit there and you sit before the HR department. They're like, oh, yeah, we do summer hours. Oh, don't worry, we'll give you vacation time. There's room for growth. We'll get in the company and be like, what the fuck? I was better off on welfare. I mean, that's how they manipulate you. Like, real talk. And this is what I'm saying, man. I'm just already know I'm swagged out right now, man. But listen. It's like these laws are so interesting because to see it, when you're reading it in theory and you're looking in the book, it's like one thing, but when you're seeing the application, it may not even be you. You may see an example between your manager and your colleague, and you're like, damn, look how he's doing him. That's OD. He's really using the 48 laws on this cat right here. And that's where you have to pay attention to details at that moment, because he's doing it to him right now, but in 2 months he's going to be doing the same thing to you. Exactly. Another field that you could apply this law to is how, and I'm a guy, I'm a man, but how dudes run game. You know what I'm saying? Like, women have game, but they don't have to run it. what I mean? It's like, you know, a lot of times, and I'm not talking about a wise man, I'm talking about just regular dudes. You know, they fall for the trap. You know what I'm saying?
They're doomed themselves.
Yeah, but I'm saying with a guy, he's always, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know. Like women don't know the game. They already know the game. But, you know, some fall for it. So this law applies to that situation as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and it says, you know, disillusion people with the things that you say. Like, sometimes if you want someone to open up with you and you know what you're trying to get them to say because you have an idea, let's say you want them to tell you about whatever sickness, disease, or what have you that they have, you volunteer something negative about yourself, and then now you're on their level, and now they start running their mouth.
But you know what's bad about that? If somebody tries to use that, that's why the other law says, you don't know who you're dealing with, do not offend the wrong person. Because if you try to use that law on me, I will always remember that. See, because I know these laws well, every one of them from 1 to 48. So if I can sense through my third eye that you're trying to use that law on me, I'd be like, wow. It could be 10 years.
Another thing too, like the book is a book, you know what I'm saying? And you said it's factual, but another thing I'm trying to tell you, for me to pick up that book on my own, not because of what Ulf was said, certain things, those laws are just natural to a lot of people.
Yes.
You understand? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to lie. Some of those things are just natural. And so it's not like I'm really trying to do something for someone.
But let's also keep them.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. I want to cut you off, Queen.
Oh, what did I say the other day, Lush, on Twitter? What I said, an opportunist is a funny thing. I said, and when you see an opportunist, you give them enough rope to hang themselves, but not tight enough to kill. And now you have a puppet. because they sometimes they don't know. You allow them to use you. I allow some people to use me, but they don't know. I just want to see what they're going to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a hangman strategy. That's a chess tactic. We allow you to
basically. That's what I was
going to
say.
Mm-hmm. It's chess.
You know, it's not even, like, don't even look at it as a book. Like, most people, because I play chess, you know, and it's like most people look
okay,
at chess
too,
and
so I guess
it's a game. You know, but it's not a game. You play chess how you live your life.
It's
you
a
know,
practice.
So if your life isn't
it's
right, then you're not going to be well at it. You know,
if you learn
how to make the right sacrifices, the right compromises, you know, if you're open, your open determines everything. How you open, what you display, what you show, you know. And even when you're attacking, you know, you're actually showing all your weaknesses. So it basically teaches
right.
you about that person.
And sometimes
it's
people's problems sometimes are they're ready to attack too soon.
Right.
And they don't have
mm-hmm.
patience. See, like, patience is a virtue. Like, it's so true. Like, sometimes, like you'll hear something bad about someone around you and you find out that, you know, they're not as true as you thought they were, you're not supposed to move or make any moves whatsoever. You know, you just hold on to that until the right time.
Right.
You know
hey,
what I
me
mean?
Say, let me say this to Genius.
Well, I mean, most people are so caught up into the pieces and they lose track of what it's really all about. How many moves it takes to put that king in checkmate as opposed to the power of the pieces.
But
you
see,
know, and all of those pieces are replaceable. They don't mean anything.
But that's going into the 33 Strategies of War right there. That's the next book.
Right.
Yeah.
Baby, I have that book. I read that book already, too.
I read that years ago when it first came out.
We're going to drop that on them later because we're going to let Swag give the book list for the people. So, you know what I'm saying, they can definitely check that out.
Can we get into the next Law, people?
I got to
and let people know what they're listening to real quick. You know what I'm saying?
This is Emma E2K. You are now tuned in to Street Queens, The Movement.
I just had to let the people know that you're listening to Street Queens, The Movement, talking about the 48 Laws. This is Law 13. When asking for help, appeal to people's self-interest, never to their mercy or gratitude. If you need to turn to any ally for help, do not bother or remind him of your past assistance or good deeds. He will find a way to ignore you. Indeed.
That is so true.
Instead, mm-hmm. uncover something in your request or in an alliance with him that will benefit him and emphasize it to all of proportion. He will respond enthusiastically when he sees something to be gained for himself. Law 13.
Mm-hmm. That is powerful.
Utilizing their weaknesses as a gain.
Hey, let me just say this. I'm gonna just say this real quick, Jeans. I was trying to talk. Everyone's talking about it. I was gonna say one thing that you said that I slightly disagree with as far as the openings. You said everything is the opening, but I think everything is the ending. But we'll talk about that another time. Now, going to this law, I mean, this is really a powerful law. You know what? I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm going to let y'all talk. I'm going to shut up.
what I meant by that Swag is this. It's 436,283 opens in a game of chess.
Right.
Your first move will determine everything. Every game that you play has already been played. So depending upon what piece a person moved, using myself, as an example, whatever piece that person moves is going to determine how they're going to lose to me. That's how I look at it, because they're going to show me what they're going to do.
There's a lot
of you basically you like for the other person to go first, because that's usually how I like
it. It doesn't matter. Even if I'm attacking, I attack in a manner as if you don't see it as an attack.
But see, that's the thing.
If I'm giving you something.
That's the thing about the game of chess, just like the game of life. You know, just because 50 Cent made it, don't mean that if you try to apply that same law and get shot nine times, you might not make it out of the hospital. So what I'm saying is if a grandmaster used a particular strategy, if he used the English opening or the Spanish opening or whatever opening he uses, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to end the same way, because your responses might be different to mine. You know, so mm-hmm. we know that there's limitations on it because we can calculate because there's numbers. But what I'm saying is that mm-hmm. it's emotion is involved. Just like you could go through a relationship and then get in another relationship and go through a similar thing, but not the same exact thing.
Let me get
you on
real quick. Bugsy was on hold. Bugsy, you want to touch base on anything we just talked about just now? Shout out to Cece Maggie in the chat room and all the guests in the chat room that's showing love real quick. Let me shout them out. But go ahead, Bugsy. Touch on.
Oh, no, I'm actually on edge right now because the game is on. So I got my phone on mute because I'm over here going crazy right now. So I'm more listening right now. You know?
All I want to know is who's in the lead.
Hey, Bugsy, I'm done with you. It's a wrap. You.
I'm sorry, but.
Hello, that's my dude, Boston in the building. Chocolate Business, you want to touch bases on that, or Emma?
I really. Go ahead, Emma.
Go ahead, Queen. I mean, I'm just listening right now. Everybody, stop. I'm just going to fall back.
Hey, Emma, check it out. It's like that law number 13 could also be applied to a job too. You know, if you go to your job and you say, "How you doing? Can I get a raise?" They'll take advantage of you. So you gotta talk.
Okay, this is what you gotta do.
You gotta
go. I'm applying law number four right now on y'all.
But basically, you know what? You could think of it like this. Like when they say, if you constantly remind someone of all the great things you did for them, it's basically like them owing you money. So if they feel internally, like basically it's that's how it feels. It feels like they owe you money. And as long as they know that they can't live up to these things that you've done for them, they will run like a person who owes you money because they can't live up to that. And you're constantly reminding them of it. So whenever you're asking someone for something, it has to be within their favor because a person is more likely to do something for you if they feel they can gain something out of it. You don't go to a rich person and ask for a loan. You have to show them how you're going to help them increase. Them giving you that money is going to help increase them making money. That's it.
And it's also not even so much about the fact that they can't meet those demands. They could, but it's just kind of like you just don't do that. It's like you said, you go to a rich person, they're looking at it like, all right, what can I gain out of this? I mean, I could give you $500,000. But
yeah, and you're like number five on the list. Like there's like 10 people before you that did the same shit.
Right.
That's the illusion of
so
this
what
country.
Do you have for me?
That's the illusion of student loans, car loans. All this, it's all illusion. The American dreams are illusions, American nightmare, because you're going there, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to be rich in it. You know how many people I know owe 70, 80, 90,000 in student loans?
Yes.
And I'm like, what the fuck are you going to college if you're broke?
Yeah.
You're gonna be broke for the next.
I say the same thing. Lord, he just hit on the whole thing. I say the same thing. I probably owe about maybe $75,000 now in my senior year. And I'm like, my whole thing is, and I'm not joking. Some people might take this offensively, but I said this. If I go out there and I can't get a job in my field, the White House better be ready for me because I am coming on your front lawn, and Mr. Obama, you definitely are going to help me get a job in my field. Like, it is not a joke anymore. You know what I mean? If I got to spend all that money, you're going to help me get a job because it's ridiculous. You can't tell people go and work or go to school, make something of yourself, and they can't get a break. Whether or not they apply these laws or not. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, and another thing. Go ahead. Sorry for cutting you off, baby. Go ahead.
Some people will, you know, what you make of your life, my mom and I have always said this, what you make of your life is just that, what you make of your life. But if you out there and you trying, you know what I mean, and you remain humble like this law says, and if you keep your enemies close and all this other stuff, and you still can't get a break, you better open up somebody's eyes.
On that note, everybody, we're gonna cut it off at the 16th law, and then we're gonna regroup next Thursday. We're gonna have an author on next week Thursday, and we're gonna regroup on the 17th law next week. But we're gonna go to the final three for now, because you know, these laws are interesting, man, and it definitely brings room for debate. And, you know, it definitely sparks,
know who we're dealing with. I know that much from after being on this phone. I don't know any of you people personally except for Lush, but I know who I'm dealing with. I can tell you that much.
Well, you're dealing with good people, though. You're dealing with good people, though.
No, you're dealing with good people, but I already know who would fall short, who's willing to go that extra mile. I'm dead serious. I already know that from being
careful
on the phone with you.
You gotta be careful with that sis, though. You gotta be careful with that queen, you know. You gotta be careful with that. Keep that car to yourself. Keep that
car to yourself.
Let them know. Don't let them know. But Emma, go ahead to Law 14 for them.
Right.
Law 14.
The Law 14 is post as a friend, work as a spy. Wow. Why you gave me this one? Don't let me go out there to the DMV area. Anyway. Pose as a friend, work as a spy. Whew. Knowing about survival. Huh?
No, go ahead.
All right, y'all will permit me, I will go on and read that page. Mm-hmm. Knowing about your rival is critical. Use spies to gather valuable information that will keep you a step ahead. Better still, play the spy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In polite social encounters, learn to probe. Ask indirect questions to get people to reveal their weaknesses and intentions. There is no occasion that is not an opportunity for artful spying.
Hey.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Wow.
All right, I'm going to go in. If y'all permit me, give me a little 2 minutes here. I know everybody's hyper. Let me think. Well, this is conflicting a little bit for me because it's conflicting for me. I've had this done to me numerous of times where I've helped people out. People have come in as, you know, as being a friend. And all of a sudden, you know, they're taking my ideas somewhere else. All of a sudden now they've, you know, They're magazine owners, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and they had no idea first to do what I was doing. All of a sudden, everybody was doing the same thing. Well, not everybody's funny. Everybody got jokes. Not everybody's asking questions on FB. I can keep going. You know, first of all, asking that many questions on Facebook. Not everybody and their mama is asking questions on their Facebook. Not to say that nobody could do it, because everybody has the right to do what they want. I'm just saying that, you know.
Oh, I just realized what you were talking about, Emma.
Questions, and they're going to have your own damn session. Is what I'm saying. Don't be applying this law to me.
Because
I will get after you. All right, sorry.
Listen, the reason why I'm laughing is that's the inside joke that me and Emma got and stuff on Facebook. So, like, she kind of bad like this.
Okay, now, I have to let that out, Lush, because it was creating a hole in my heart. But I'm good now. See? Woof. Lord.
Yo, let me say this real quick, too. You know what I'm saying? That's funny right there, Emma. Let me say this. See, a lot of people, you know, like automatically had a negative connotation as soon as like, oh, work as friend, pose a spot. But you know what, though? Everybody does that sometimes. Because, look, I'll give you an example. Let's say if a woman suspects that her husband's cheating, right, and she has a good friendship with his sister, she will work as a spy. She'll be over there like, yeah, girl, how you doing? Yeah, so, how's your book? Yeah, you know where your brother's hanging out at? Oh, he's hanging at the club downtown. Okay. Oh, he's at the Voodoo Lounge. Okay, all right, I'm going to go check it out. Now all of a sudden, it's okay to be a spy. See what I'm saying? So it's like people use it, they utilize it when it's good for them. Or even if you do it with your job. You know, if you cool with somebody in HR, you like, oh, you know who they gonna let go? Oh, who they gonna now you want to inquire about who they let go. So it's cool when you want to use it, but then when people use it against you, it's not. See, we gotta be knowledgeable. No, I'm not saying how. I'm just saying we gotta be knowledgeable to be able to combat these laws and know how to use them. I'm not saying use it all the time. I'm saying know how to use it.
Listen, Swag, I'm not going to lie and say that I've never been a spy because Lord knows that's why I'm always end up single. Because I start being a spy and I get all the evidence and then he out the door. You know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't I mess with that? Why wouldn't I found him in my friend's house? Why wouldn't I found him in a hotel? Like, why I wouldn't have did that? Because I wanted to be a damn spy and that's what I get. So
but
I'm
you know what about the spy situation? But about the spying on the guy situation, I can understand if he gives you reason to start looking. Mm. But if someone doesn't give you reason and you start looking for stuff, you even things that don't aren't even guilty are going to start seeming guilty when you start looking for things. But, like, if they give you reason, then you spy away. But if he's doing all these right things and everything is flowing, he's staying on schedule, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's following the same pattern he did in the beginning.
When I go and I'm going to tell him, listen, it's over, and he play that, you know, he want to pop the violin out the closet. I got evidence. Look, this reason, you did this, you did that, and now there's no more to say. That's it. Don't call me, and none of that is a wrap.
But see, if he was following all the steps, and, you know, his patterns were the same, he kept being the same, he's respectful, he's loving you and all of that, then you know what? He had enough respect for not.
Queen, the most times that I catch him is when they're being extra loving and all that.
Why are you doing that to yourself? Why are you doing that to yourself? If you're happy, why are you looking for the nonsense?
Queen, I got the third eye. When the third eye tells me you're loving a little too much extra and it's sounding a little phony, then I got to step up and see what's going on. Because, see, it's just not sounding too culture.
Hey, ladies, we got three more callers live on the line. I'm going to go to the caller from the 832. You want to touch base on what we're talking about? Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Calling from the 832.
This is boy DJ Ice Mike of the Definition DJs. Love her online radio.
Barry White.
Radio online. Good.
I love him to death.
I just wanted to say, you know, you have to be, first of all, power is something that's not to be played with. Mm-hmm. Second of all, people's emotions are attached to the heavens and the angels that fight over the people. The souls. So, in this event, you know, of course, people on the planet have found different things that work, different tactics that make other people do what they need them to do, a puppet type thing. You know what I'm saying? And if you know that you're using unrighteous tactics to get people to play to your tune, you know, it's actually in direct contrast from what the Bible is. The Bible is mostly about, you know, it shows us how to save ourselves, but in those ways, the acts are how we treat one another, how we interact with one another, what we, you know, not stealing from each other, not taking each other's wives, not fouling the temple, different things, you know what I'm saying? There are commandments about it, right? Well, what I find is weak people who need power are those who will, you know, come up with different little schemes and tactics to do these things. Now, to have a book such as The 48 Laws of Power, which can be used very destructively, it is very important that anybody who picks it up to read it, reads it with the notion that I want to know this in a defense for anybody using it against me. You know what I'm saying? Because the Bible does tell you to be wise. So picking up the book cannot hurt you. You know what I'm saying? It's only when you use these tactics in a formula to make something happen for you that you know one thing. I'm doing this to this person. This person has no idea that I have the motherfucker in the trance and I'm going to lead the bitch to give me all this money, all this fucking ideas and shit like that. And then I'm going to go run over here and do this here with these other people who I want to impress. You dig? So you got people like Lush. You know, the thing that you were talking about, how people run off and start magazines and this, that, and other. People have done that to me with music. People have done that to Lust. People have done this and that to every person. You know what I mean? But it's not up to us to have a foul inside because the sin is still attached to that person in the book of God. You know what I'm saying? So anything that you find in this book that could be powerful for you, like things that may tell you, you know, if you wear brighter colored pants, you may get a lot of successful doors open for you because of the way that your parents is. These type things hurt nobody else, and I believe that those things would be cool to use out of that book and other things. You know, just as long as it's not hurting someone else or using someone else or putting somebody in a position that they don't understand that they're actually helping you to rob them, then it's cool.
No,
point.
You know what? I'm gonna make.
I have a question for the brother.
I have something to say. Go ahead, baby.
I just have a question for you. Speaking from a biblical standpoint, because you said that the 48 laws of power was about destruction, but even in the own Bible,
no, I did not say that. Hold on. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying.
Don't
mix it up.
No, I'm not trying to misconstrue.
I said power.
You said that
used
for destruction. Right, but even in the Bible itself, like with David, who the most says
was
wrote about
thing.
The story of David in the Psalms,
you should
right?
Put the phone to your other ear. Right. Put the phone to your other ear so you can hear me.
Now, what I'm saying is,
that the book can be used for
right, but that's what I'm saying. But even the Bible itself, you know, I understand clearly what you were saying. My question that I'm saying, because this is something that goes back even before, you know, the Bible itself, but just using the Bible as a reference, you know, even David, who was like the one of God's, you know, highest warriors, you know, who was wrote about more than anyone else in the Bible other than Jesus, you know, he actually sent a man out to his death so that he could sleep with his wife, and he was honored. You understand? So,
by who?
I mean, and
by who?
You said, well, he went
you
on to become a king.
You know, if you
treated greatly.
If me and you go out to a club together, and both of us know a mutual friend, and we also know his wife, you know what I'm saying? I might fuck her, and you might be clapping like, yeah, boy, you did that, nigga. You did it in the back of my car. But I'm not searching for what the fuck you going to give me in the end of my soul. I'm searching for what God is going to say about me. So what David had to do and who was honoring him and making him king and this, that, and the other, you know, all that shit is null and void. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, in the end, you know what I'm saying? In the very end, which could be possibly in 2012, but at the same time, in the very end, whenever it is, you know, your soul is at stake. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying that it would be wiser to use it in a manner where even if you know that, you know, you're using a tactic that the other person doesn't know you're using, you know, not using it on him as an opponent or something that's going to leave him fucking discombobulated when you walk away. That's my
right.
thing about it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, it weak shit spawns weak shit. You know what I'm saying? And all of, even in the title of it is like 48 Laws of Power. Everybody who's running to buy that book is people who feel like there's a deficiency or a void in their power or that they need their power strengthened. Or whatever like this. And you could do the same thing with the Bible knowing that that is all by righteous. You know what I'm saying? So it's just all on what you're looking for. You know what I'm saying? Some people go to church every day of the week and God ain't answering their prayer, so they go to a psychic. You know what I'm saying? Whatever rocks your boat. You know what I'm saying? But when you cross over to do the wrong thing, oh, yeah, now I got him to take all his money out and tell me where he put it at and what the number is to the pen and all this kind of shit. All right, cool, you did all of that. When you step over into pressing the pen with your own finger, getting the money out with your own hands, spending that shit with your own hands, don't be surprised if whoever gets that money don't even know you, but they give it to somebody else who buys a gun, and that same money talks that gun right back around to your motherfucking temple. You know what I'm saying? And it might not be through a cast of people who you even did it to, you know what I'm saying? But it will come back that way. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what the word of God is, and it doesn't return to him for it. Now, I'm not, as you can tell, I cuss and all this kind of stuff, so I'm not super-duper, like, thrusting the Bible down your throat or denying anything that had been prior conversation before I came on. I'm just, you know, what I have to say a little bit about the book itself, not about any of you guys, because definitely I respect you all for having this discussion and conversation.
Right.
So,
well, I mean,
Hold on, real quick. We got three more callers. And callers, right now we're talking about the 48 Laws of Power. And I don't think we're going to get to the next couple ones because we're going to have to wrap it up soon. We have 23 minutes left on the clock. But I'm opening up the lines for the final three people to join the convo real quick. 952, you're live on Street Queens and Movement. We're talking about the 48 Laws of Power. Do you want to touch bases on anything we discussed? 925. 925. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
there you go. There y'all go with the holding up stuff. All right, but so listen, we love you. 347-726, you're live on Street Queens and Movement. Speak your piece.
Yeah, what's up? I actually didn't press one to talk. I'm just listening in, but this is Fresco D Star, and it's a great book. So, you know, I caught the topic on the end, just trying to, you know, hear what y'all talking about. Pretty good book. Also, check out The Art of Seduction by Robert Greene, as well as the 36 Strategies of War.
That's what it is. Appreciate you, man. Definitely, man. Number 718, you're live on Street Queens and Movement. You want to speak your piece?
Well, actually, I just came in to actually catch on to what was going on, but I wasn't paying attention. I came in too late, missed the whole conversation, but I was just coming to show support.
Okay, that's what's up, sweetie. Stay on the line with us. Another caller from the 925. You're live on Street Queens and Movement. Speak your piece. Okay, just stay on the line with us. We're gonna go ahead and move to the next law. Genius, you wanted to rebuttal and on your final comment with that last law, so we can move on to the next one because we got a short period of time. Genius.
Right. I mean, I'll only say that. I mean, for everybody, even the people that's listening, books and things like this are nothing but armament. It's just like they say when you go to church, you have to arm yourself. These are tools that are used to actually arm yourself for betterment. You know, some people may use it for bad, you know, but it can be used for good. And it's all upon that person and what's in them, and the only person that controls that is you. If you actually utilize any of these principles, you know, in the right manner, then it can help you to better yourself. That's the only thing I'll say.
Definitely. And on that note, can you read Law 15?
Law 15, crush your enemies totally, definitely. All great leaders since Moses have known that a feared enemy must be crushed completely. Sometimes they have learned this the hard way. And one ember is left alight, no matter how dimly it smolders, a fire will eventually break out. More is lost through stopping halfway than through total annihilation. The enemy will recover and will seek revenge. Crush him, not only in body, but in spirit. Being in the service and doing my job, I definitely understand that. You know, you can't show, you know, humanity in a situation of war. You know, if you allow your enemy to live, then he can recover and come back to harm you and may not be as merciful as you was towards him.
Definitely. Show no mercy. You know, basically it's kind of saying show no mercy at the end of the day. You know, hey, you know, if you're going to go after the person, you got to annihilate them. You got to crush their spirit. You got to destroy them in a sense, you know, and that's the art of war, you know. Ladies, I want my ladies, especially Emma, my street queen president. Emma, you want to touch base on that one? And we're going to let the ladies go ahead and touch on that and everything.
I'm sorry. I was tweeting.
What happened?
We're talking about crushing your enemy totally.
Oh, okay. I'm here. So about crushing your enemies totally, I agree. Because if you don't crush them, they will crush you. So it's a fight of the fittest, basically. You know, I've had a lot of enemies that, although I'm the kindest and the most positive person, you know, in the world, I've had to crush a couple of people's feelings and businesses and emotions and all that because, you know, the enemy is a liar, so I have to slap the enemy a couple of times, you know? So, yeah.
Back
ahead, you know.
Just trying to keep in context, though, like when reading the rest of the book.
Sometimes you have to throw
that backhand
slap. Like back in the days when you came in late after your curfew and your mother said, "Oh, you think you're a grown woman? Kapow!" There you go. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, what were you saying just a few minutes ago?
I was saying, you know, I agree as well. Like, enemy, you know what I'm saying, when you're approaching an enemy in war, definitely don't leave a breathing thing behind, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, keep in mind that at that part of the book is talking about enemy. Enemy, person who is opponent to you, person who is coming up with thoughts to crush you. Yeah, crush that motherfucker away. He can't never do nothing. Crush all the bitch children feelings. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, if he's not an enemy, he's just somebody who could help and you're just using the trick to do this, you can't tie that into the enemy part. You know what I'm saying? You're just the enemy yourself then. You
feel me? That's a good point, Mike.
I just want to let you know that we had 13 callers live on the line right now. Like, this is crazy right now.
Stop. 13 callers.
Let me say
this real quick. I want to say, you know, in reference to what – this is Swag speaking. I want to say in reference to what the brother Mike said when he first came on, it's very important that we understand this because I studied this book thoroughly. You know what I mean? And like he said, power is nothing to play with. You know what I mean? That's very imperative that we understand that right there. And like you said, make sure it's an enemy. Because here it is, you crushing somebody that could potentially actually be a friend or be somebody that can actually work on your side with your forces. You know, so be careful with, be real seriously, man. Like, we study a lot of history. Be careful with trying to apply these laws and not knowing what you're doing. It's like playing with fire. You're going to start, you know, you end up burning the building down with your children in it. So be careful with what you're playing with. This is no joke right here, man.
Definitely. And it can definitely tear you apart. We're going to let these callers that's on the line. Bugsy, you want to say something in regards to crushing the enemy? Bugsy's still watching the game. All right, Bugsy.
Bun B? Bun, you on here? Bun.
Yes,
you said Bun B?
No, not Bun B.
Hey,
it's
Mike.
I said Bugsy.
Oh, all right.
Bugsy.
All right. My bad.
Yeah. 347-725. You want to speak on that, crushing the enemy?
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're live.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that, Lord. This is Fresco D. Star, by the way, from StreetsOnMind.com. And I just want to add to the fact that, you know, Law 15 is often overlooked for its true meaning. The only enemy that can really stop you from moving forward is the enemy of self. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, in order to move forward, you have to become the person that you want to be. Like, you will never be the person you want to be by doing the things that you always done. So your own enemy is your past. And in order to move forward, you have to crush your past and crush the person that has held you back. And a lot of people don't realize that. They always look as the enemy being something outside of themselves, because not for nothing, if you really realize it, like, the other person does not have power over you. Because, I mean, the only person that can control your own perception and your own actions and your own reactions to anybody's actions against you is yourself. So the enemy spoken in Law 15 is the enemy of self. And I just wanted to add to that. Pretty much it.
That's a real good point there. Yeah.
That's a good point.
You got to keep that in mind, too, though, that some people who cannot defeat you because your mind is that strong, you know, in another sense, the enemy could be a person who, like, if you got a great relationship with your boss, your enemy might come between you and your boss and try to do some shit. You ain't worried about it. That can't say that or whatever like that. So from a different direction, a person who would try to crush that or probably leave some pictures of you, you know, with some chick that he used to fuck with or some shit on his desk or whatever like that, and they don't know who left him there, different little spiteful shit like that can also be the thing that is attacking you beside yourself. But, yes, the mind is the only thing that can be unlocked by only you, yes. You know what I'm saying? You can only be your own.
Definitely. And we got another caller from the 718-718. Do you want to touch on that, 718?
I feel where you're coming from. Like, you got to crush whatever's holding you back, you know, and usually your enemies is what's holding you back because they're always on your mind, you know. Get them off your mind and you'll succeed a lot faster, a lot better. That's all I got to say on it. Oh, and I also agree with, you know, I like this little speech on it. You know, he had a different analogy, and I liked his perception on it as well.
Okay, that's what's up. And we got a caller from the 925. 925, you're live on Street Queens, the Movement. Peace.
Yeah, it's Sandman from 333 Music University Radio. I wanted to touch on the fact that, you know, sometimes your enemy, you may not even know. Your enemy could actually be a long-term friend. You know, that cat that you grew up with. You know, and a lot of times you have to let that person go because they mean you no good. You know, you might be trying to move forward and they talking you out of it. You know, and
man, them niggas ain't gonna like your rap, man. Come with me, man, we going over here to the party. Nigga walking right away from your dreams.
Right. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And those are the toughest ones because they playing double agent. You know what I'm saying? On one side, they're your friend, and on the other side, they don't mean you no good. You know what I'm saying? And I think other than your enemy being yourself, you know, like the other brother touched on, that's another common enemy. And I think that's even tougher because it could be somebody from your childhood that you've known your whole life. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta make that decision to cut that person loose completely.
Right.
You know, but if you want to drive, you know, that's just what you got to do.
Right. But I want to just add to that, though. I mean, any outside enemy, all they can really do is just influence. But at the end of the day, your decision to that influence, whether you decide to take part or pull away, is up to you. So, I mean, if you allow an enemy to pull you back or outside enemy pull you back, the true enemy is yourself because you contributed to, you're actually an accomplice to them trying to hold you back by making the decision to allow that to happen.
That also depends on what kind of enemy you're dealing with, you know what I mean? Because there's a wide range of different types of enemies that you can have. Like when we, so-called African-Americans were over here in slavery, these people that put us in that condition, that's the enemy. But they had you in such a mental condition that it was damaging to yourself. But we're going to that another time. Go ahead, Lush.
Yeah, hold on. Lethal, I want to see what Lethal has to say about Lethal. How you feel about the whole question the enemy situation, Lethal? Lethal, you still there with us? I think we lost Lethal over there. But I'm going to ask my ladies over there. Precious, what do you think about that? Question the enemy. Precious, you there? Okay, where's my ladies at?
Wait a minute, this is still ladies night,
so I mean I know y'all fellas like the 48 Laws 5, but remember this is Street Queens the Movement and the Queens run the show each and every Thursday, so y'all guys fall back a little bit. I just really am honored to the fact that we can bring so many different people from so many different states on a show, on one show this Thursday, to talk about the 48 Laws of Power and how it touched everybody's lives in different aspects, whether it's your love life, your career, or just life in general, you know. You know, this was actually brought to us by Swag, who was our honorary, panelist on here, our Street King. It definitely provokes a lot of thought, a lot of thinking. And, tonight we're never, ever going to touch on all of them. But we stopped at 16, so I need somebody to record that, Swag. So we're going to regroup next week, Thursday, and we're going to touch more on the rest of the 48 Laws of Power. So there'll be part two. This is part one of the 48 Laws of Power. And this is very interesting to me. I mean, everybody has their different aspects. And we agreed on several things, and some things we disagreed on, and some things we played devil advocate on the situation. But I think basically when you apply these laws to your life, you know, you can either use it as a form of defense, or you can actually use it as your own battle tactic, depending on how you're using it. But just like Lethal said, some people aren't even meant to actually read this. You know, if you can't decipher what it really means, You know, it's kind of like a waste of time, honestly. You know, and, you know, all the people that are on the line, actually, we are in tune with what's going on in the world, and we try to, you know, embrace knowledge because knowledge is our food and knowledge is power, you know. And when you messing with power, make sure you're careful with it because some power can cause your downfall. So make sure you know what you're doing when you're stepping in the game. And I just want to say that it's an honor and a blessing to have all of you beautiful people on here from you kings to queens live on the show each and every Thursday support. We have 13 callers on the line. Like, come on now. 13, like, you know, if we could make it longer, we might have like 100. And I don't got time to do all that right now. But
we got to call in early. People call in early. Call in at 8 o'clock. Next week, 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Next week, call in 8 o'clock on a dot. Tomorrow, next week, we're going to have an author by the name of Shani. She has a book talking about her life and struggle. So we're going to talk with her also. And we're also going to finish up with the last bit of the 48 Laws of Power. But the last thing I want you guys to do, my honorary queen on here, but my president, which is Emma, and Swag and Genius, I want you guys to throw out the books that you want the people out there to pick up and read, some of the book lists that we want to throw out to the people. You go first.
Hello?
You want to go first?
Yeah, go ahead, Emma. It's the queen's night, so we'll let oh, she said she wanted to be known as the sexy, Emma. So sexy Emma.
That is through home training, baby. You see, he got
sexy
through
Emma. Go ahead.
Through home training. The two books I will give out, I guess, because I'm in the middle of I'm bouncing in between both of them, will be what everybody knows, of course, the book The Secret by Rhonda Byrne, and How to Practice, which is The Way to a Meaningful Life by the Dalai Lama. If y'all get a chance, please pick up those two books. Only if, of course, if y'all in the journey for self-peace and stuff like that, you can pick those two books up. I recommend those two.
Definitely, definitely. And Genius, could you throw that out there too? Throw some books out there for people.
I would say The Art of War, Sun Tzu, and The Tai Chi Manual, you know, two of my favorite books to read, you know. And I'll also say this, just an end note, there's three different types of people in this world. There's those that choose to allow, those that choose to do, and those that choose to ignore. Be a doer and be active.
Definitely. Swag, since you know you were the honoree, the one that you know, gave us the topic today. So can you throw those books out there for the people?
Hello? You know that.
Yeah.
You know that. Peace. So, you know, starting off, like I said last week, The Secret Science by John Baines is something I highly recommend. That's one of them. Another book by John Baines is The Science of Love. The third one. Yeah, that's the one you purchased, no question.
Okay, yeah, I'm still waiting for it.
Yeah, the third one is The Wholehearted Marriage, and it's written by Dr. Greg Smalley. You know,
Dr. Greg Smalley?
Yeah, Greg Smalley. S-M-A-L-L-E-Y. The fourth book is The 5 Rules of Thought by Mary T. Brown. The one that I mentioned last week as well was Blacked Out the Whitewash. And there's a book that's called Ancient Egypt that I studied when I was in college. And it's written by Lorna Oakes. Her last name is spelled O-A-K-E-S, and the first name is Lorna, which is L-O-R-N-A.
Yeah, that's a good book, too.
Of course, we talked about the 48 Laws of Power, as I talked about last week. It's just good to have that as a reference. It's not the most powerful book in the world. It's not even the book is actually not even really dealing with laws of power, but more of concepts of power. But you know, that The Art of Seduction, also by Robert Greene, and The 33 Strategies of War is a really good book as well.
That's what
and,
it is.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Oh, one other one is Creative Capitalism by Michael Kingsley. It's a really good book about how to, you know, manage your finance and to understand what's going on in this economy in this day and time, which is very imperative.
Yeah, that's definitely needed.
Peace.
I implore all of you guys for all the books that we suggest for you guys to, you know, we're not saying that, you know, you have to read the books, but we just want to give the knowledge for you guys to, we implore you guys to read, you know. Reading is fundamental, and no one's going to give us this knowledge but ourselves. So it's one, teach one, each, teach one. So if we know the knowledge and we read the books and we feel like it might be, you know, beneficial for your life, we're going to pass it over to you. And after we finish the 48 Laws of Power, we're going to move on to the book, Who Moved My Cheese? Which is an excellent book that deals with your everyday life and dealing with change and the concept to, are you prepared for change? We're going to talk about that once we finish up with the 48 Laws of Power. This is part one of 48 Laws of Power with all the beautiful people calling from every different state. The only thing I want you guys to do now is to basically give your Twitter out. Since you guys joined us, we want you to show you guys some love. So throw your Twitter out there for the people or your contact information so people can definitely connect with you. Genius, throw your Twitter out there.
It's Genius, G-N-E-O-U-S. You can hit me up on Twitter. You know, don't be afraid to speak. You know, I don't bite. You know, just keep your teeth. That's all.
That's what it is. And Emma, throw that out there, queen, sexy queen.
I got two of them. The business one is E2K, the letter E, the number two, the letter K, _ magazine, spelled correctly. And mine's Emma E2K. So that's Emma with two M's, E-M-M-A, E2K. Follow me, please, people, follow me. Sígueme, sígueme.
And Chocolate Mrs. is our beautiful spoke model. Chocolate Mrs., you want to put that out there, Precious? I think we lost Precious, but hers is Chocolate Mrs. on Twitter. Ma, you still there, Ma? I think we lost her, too. Swag, throw your Twitter and your Facebook out there for the people, Swag.
I'm going to throw my Facebook. I'm trying to get my Facebook numbers up right now. y'all want to contact me, y'all could contact my email address, which is thesecretscience7@yahoo.com. Y'all can hit me up on Facebook. I would love to, you know what I'm saying, if you want to build and add on, we can deal with any kind of topic. You want to debate, we can deal with any kind of science you want to deal with, whatever. But it's all about
people,
so let's do it.
That's what it is. Lethal, you want to throw out your Twitter? I think we lost Lethal, too. Lethal is Lethal Lips XXX on Twitter, so follow her and Lethal Lips on Facebook. Bugsy, you want to throw your Twitter out there, or are you still watching the game? I think it's the real Bugsy on Twitter and Facebook. We done lost him, too.
Yeah, I think he changed it. I think it's Ladies Love Bugsy.
I think it's Ladies Love Bugsy or something like that, right? Yeah, but y'all can follow the timeline and stuff. Ice Mike, DJ Ice Mike, Definition DJ, throw that out there, Big Bro.
My handle is Ice Mike 1200. And also, if I may, real quick, to say a couple of book titles. People could come up, I guess, by reading also the book Conquering an Enemy Called Average by John Mason. Also the book The Business of Getting Rich by Bishop E. Bernard Jordan, and The Laws of Thinking by also the same author, Bishop Bernard Jordan, and, of course, Think and Grow Rich by Dr. Hill.
That's what it is. Call us for Fresco. Throw your information out there, Fresco. Fresco, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, Fresco. Fresco,
yeah.
You there?
Okay. It's Sam, man. Hello?
Fresco, throw your information out there, Fresco.
It's Sandman 333 MU. That's my Twitter. You can also find me tomorrow night on blogtalkradio.com/sandman333mu for at 9:30 Central. I also have a favorite book that, well, a new favorite book anyway, Action Has No Season by Michael Roberts. It's actually a real good book.
Definitely. I was like, call Fresco, but you know what I'm saying? You took the initiative. Fresco ain't coming off fast enough. 718.
No, because I used to live in California, so that's how I got that area code.
Oh, okay. So 718, you're live on the line. You want to throw your info out there, 718?
I got two Twitters. First one is Mr. Freshy to you, the number two. And the other one is Never Too Many Tats, the number two. That's the one I'm mainly on, and I always show love to Lush Radio, you know what I mean?
That's what it is, man. And we definitely love everybody that supports Lush Radio. We support you. We love you. And we want to keep on giving y'all guys knowledge, man. We believe in education and entertainment. And if you ain't getting no knowledge from the show, then I don't know what you sipping on. Lush Radio Online, we tell you, pen in the pad, man. We don't do this for us, do it for the people, man. Make sure you log on for part two next week, same time, same place, 8 o'clock. Street Queens, the movement, man. And we about to be out of here, man. You know what I'm saying? All I want to say is no matter what, keep winning. And I love all of you guys. Love, peace, and happiness.
Peace.
Be safe and be blessed.
Paz y amor.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.
Hey. Everybody be safe and be blessed. Shout out to all the queens.
Peace and blessings. Shout out to the kings.